What's going on, world? It's your boy, Savannah Black. Back again. It's been a long time since I left you without a strong thought that kept you from doing something that was self-destructive. That kept you from doing something that was degrading not only to you, but to your fellow man. Today, we're going to talk about the homosexual agenda and how it is targeting our little black boys and our little black girls. The last time that I did this show, I really didn't get into the details like I wanted to of how this homosexual agenda is slowly but surely destroying our heritage, that slowly but surely becoming a part of our culture. And I know some of you might say, well, it already been here. Homosexuality has been here. But a part of our culture, no, it hasn't. This says nothing new underneath the sun. But this right here, I beg to differ, because homosexuality being a part of the black community culture, as far as I know, and as far as me looking up, you know, through the history and trying to find it, it has never been. Not saying that there wasn't people that did and didn't participate in homosexuality, because out of billions and billions of people, it's always some old dummy that, you know, want to try and see, you know, how things is. But as far as it being a culture, it never has been. But like I said, this right here is Savannah Black Conscious Attack. And before I get into this thing, I got to play my theme music. Y'all know what it is.
You're quite Savannah hostile. Black Conscious
Attack. I got a right to be hostile, man. My people been persecuted.
I keep it away, of course, and I'm keeping you from sleeping. And on the stage I raise and I'm rolling. And to the poor I pour in all my metaphors. And I'm bluffing, it's nothing that we ain't did before. We played your stage, the points made you consider it done by the prophets of rage.
What the people say?
Yo, Griff, you and that's 1W, get to the east side. We got to kick it for the east side,
G. I roll with the punches so I survive. So try to rock cause it keeps the crowd alive. I'm not bowling, I'm just calling. But I'm past the days of yes, y'all.
Wait
for the prophet. bumping what they used to. Till the whole juice crew gets me in my goose down.
Goose
I
down.
Do a rebel yell.
And I'm a Duracell.
I call it plain and say, brothers causing me pain. When a brother's a victim and a cellar's a dweller in a cage.
Yo, Rocky Acapella, G.
Now what the people say.
You're quite hostile.
Yes, I am quite hostile. When it comes to you trying to attack my people, when it comes to you trying to indoctrinate your homosexual agenda into the minds of our little black boys and our little black girls, yes, I am very hostile. When it comes to you trying to steal my legacy and to stop my bloodline after being on this earth since the beginning of the beginning of the beginning, and now you're trying to put a stop to it with one of the most ingenious plans, I may say, which is feminizing our little boys and at the same time masculinizing our little girls. And a lot of people say, Mr. Black, why you always got to mess with them damn people? Why every time you do a show, it always got to be about homosexuality? I even had somebody to say, man, you know what? The only people that mess with faggots is somebody that wished they was a faggot or got some faggot in them. Them people don't be messing with nobody, bruh. This right here coming from a dude that if you owed him $5 and you was tight on the payment, he might shoot you in the leg. This one is coming from one of them quote-unquote hard Negroes. One of them quote-unquote brothers that call themselves real. They call themselves real niggas. But when I say something about homosexuality, they are very compelled to take up for it. Some of them to the point of getting so loud, I don't know whether they're going to throw a punch at me or stop throwing a punch at them. But one thing I know is for certain, whenever you say something negative about homosexuality, you talk about the gay agenda that they are doing to the little black boys, then that these people, they get real, I'm talking about, they get hostile, quite hostile, to be honest with you. And they be like, hold on for a minute, bro. I ain't going to let you talk about so-and-so, my niece's sister. Hold on for a minute, bro. I ain't going to let you sit up right there. My daddy was a faggot. Nigga, I ain't a faggot. He raised me up. Hold on for a minute, man. I ain't going to let you talk about no bulldaggers, bro. My mama a bulldagger, and my sister, and my auntie, and my grandma. So what you trying to say about me, bro? These dudes. But some of them, on the other hand, they call themselves conscious. They say they're conscious brothers, and, you know, they're down for the conscious cause, and you'll see the Malcolm X's, you'll see the Baba Shango's. You'll see all these postings on their Facebook page. But then when it comes to the homosexual agenda, they silent and don't say nothing about it. They'll inbox me on Facebook and tell me that I need to be worried about other things. But the whole thing, the whole truth of the matter is, homosexuals, although they have always been into the community, now they taking on a new and different demon. And that new and different demon that they taking on is the homosexual agenda. But then when you speak up on it and you say something about it, they say that you are being homophobic. And I have to ask, why you call me homophobic? What is being homophobic? So what I'm going to do is I'm going to read the definition that they put out there for homophobia. And the definition of homophobia goes, excuse me, give me a second. Got it right here. Homophobia encompasses a range of negative attitudes and feelings towards homosexuality, are people who are identified or perceived as being lesbian, gay, bisexual, or transgender, which the initials for that is LGBT. It can be expressed as antipathy, contempt, prejudice, aversion, or hatred. May be based on irrational fear and is sometimes related to religious beliefs. Homophobia is observable in critical and hostile behavior such as discrimination and violence on the basis of sexual orientations that are non-heterosexual. So, by me disagreeing with your homosexual lifestyle, that makes me homophobic. But let's see what a phobia is. Coming from the Greek, aversion, fear, morbid fear, is when used in the context of psychology, a type of anxiety disorder, usually defined as a persistent fear of an object or situation in which the sufferer commits to great lengths in avoiding, typically proportional to the actual danger posed, often being recognized as irrational. In the event, the phobia cannot be avoided entirely. The sufferer will endure the situation or object with marked distress or significant interference in social or occupational activities. So, in other words, being called a homophobe or home is saying that you are homophobic. That means that you have to be so scared of homosexuals that when you see them, I'm talking about you really, if I was walking on the sidewalk heading north, and a homosexual walking on the sidewalk heading south, and it was by chance that we were to run into each other on the course of him walking his way and me walking my way, that if there's traffic on the right-hand side, it's like if you're in California on Broadway or, you know, in my city, which is on Savannah, you are on Abercorn Street, which Abercorn Extension, which is one of the most busiest streets, roads, you know, where I live at, that you will actually run into the middle of traffic, risk getting hit by a car, than to be on the same side of the street as a homosexual. I remember looking at this movie a while back called Arachnophobia. And on the movie Arachnophobia, people were like scared of these spiders. And my fear, my thing has always been when you're dealing with somebody that has a phobia is that they will do something that will self-destructive to get away from whatever it is that they have a phobia of. But the reason I come out and I talk about this homosexual agenda the way I do is because I remember one day going to pick my little cousin up from school, which is my niece, because, you know, everybody look at me as the uncle. I'm uncle to everybody. Whether it's blood or not blood, I'm known as Uncle Savannah Black. And today, Uncle Savannah Black going to tell you what he witnessed. My cousin goes to grade school. And I go pick her up from the bus ramp, and I see two little girls. One little girl, from a distance, you think she's a little boy. But when you get closer, it's a little girl. And it's another little girl that got a little dress on. So I'm pulling up to the school. I said, damn. I said, the teacher, see them two little kids? Like, they're down grown all hug up with each other. And they ain't saying nothing about it. But then when I got closer, I realized not only were they hold up in a sexual position that little kids shouldn't be entangled in, but it was a little boy and a little girl. And that's the sad part about it. Thing has gone a little bit too far. And what is it to be done? If anybody has anything that they can help me so I can know where to go at, please, raise your hands up. I'm just curious to know. But after witnessing and seeing that, I said, oh, my God. The faggots done got the babies. And the cracker teachers. That's right. You listening to Savannah Black Conscious Attack, and I did say the word cracker. If it offends you, if it made your ears burn, and maybe you need to check yourself and look and see how much of a hold that the cracker, excuse me, I mean the devil have on you and your heart. But then the cracker teachers, like I said, were out there, and they didn't say nothing. They didn't even try to just break them up. And I see parents picking the other kids up, walking back and forth like it wasn't nothing. So I said, hey. That's what I said. I said, hey, what y'all little girls doing? And they jump and straighten up. I'm like, damn. So my little cousin, little niece got in the car, and I drilled her. And she said, no, that girl is a tom girl. She's a tomboy. She called a little girl. That's so-and-so. She's a tomboy. There's a lot of little tomboys go to our school. I said, look here, that was a little tom girl. A little tomboy, excuse me. That was a little faggot girl. She started laughing. But I had to let her know. Hey, look here, let me tell you something. If you ever choose to go with that lifestyle, just know that that's the end of you. And she didn't understand what I meant by that. But after I explained it, and that she was much older than, you know, and she'd been there more times than she know, that's when she found out that, hey, you know what? My uncle, right. But things have changed and times are not like they used to be. I wish it was back in the old days. I really do.
Reminisce back when I was only a child, back in the days of living carefree lifestyle. Well, long as we wasn't caught, being bad was cool, and we was never at a loss for something to get into. Chilling in the neighborhood, down at the park, sunny days when we played at the old school yard, where kicking it live was a familiar scene. Kenny M and Big Gene know what I mean. But nowadays it seems like just ain't the same. Everybody's involved in the game or a gang, and when we die it seems like nobody cares. It ain't no love in they cold-hearted stares, thinking of payback or making a hit. Now cowboys and Indians become real life, and life means nothing when the heart is cold. It ain't the same as the days of old. Much love for my people here, but what good is love if the people don't really care? The triggers are cold at the old K Corral, but it ain't okay when my people live foul. Another sad case of the black on black. It's a fact, some of our people don't know how to act. Can't go to the club, can't go to the store, can't chill with your girl, can't go to the show, can't do anything without some fool acting up. You start to believe that black folk are savage, but before you do, allow me to say that in the old days we didn't act that way. See, kings and queens were the names of the righteous, but the sons of slaves are insane, and we might just self-destruct and erupt without a chance to grow. This ain't the days of old. Or maybe even more of us will blame the white man before we understand. Now the problem's not him. What I'm telling you is actual fact. I ain't pro-human, cause all humans ain't pro-black. Remember in your mind that there still exists a plan to bring down a black fist. See, the struggle is uphill, life's at a standstill. Jackpot Jill, now we don't act real. And every living moment got her singing the blues. Her sole provider can't afford the baby shoes. That's the cycle so many of us go through. America's black holocaust continues. And I just hope we wake up soon before we fold. I miss the days of old.
Of old. I wish we can go back to the days old when we had to worry about asking our boys and girls what their sexual preferences is. I wish we can go back to the days of old where we didn't have to worry about our kids. And what I mean by using the term different, I mean, different in the sense of their sexuality. When we're dealing with little girls that shouldn't have to go through being told that it's okay to be a lesbian. They should even know what being a lesbian is. They should even know what being heterosexual is. Matter of fact, to tell them what being heterosexual is, because it's in their nature to know what heterosexual is. To like little boys. But now, we got something going on that's totally different. We got them being fed material in school that tells them that it's okay to be a little lesbo or a little homo. They just, like, they come out. I got a message that say, or telling them they were born. My sister sent me a message telling them that they are born that way. And you know what? You're right. Telling them that they are born to be gay. That God made a mistake. That this is how they came into the world. You got, I'm laughing because it's funny, right? Because growing up as a child, and even me raising my kids, I never had thought that this is a conversation that I should even have to have or be having. Well, I'm telling my kids that it's okay to be little faggots. It's okay to be little dykes. Oh, you're a sissy, but you know daddy gonna still love you. Do you know that's a severing of your bloodline? See, some of y'all Negroes think that y'all just came here into existence during the kidnapping phase and the hostile takeover phase that happened in our history. And when I say hostile takeover phase, I'm talking about us as Native Americans who were here for the crack of cane and hostily took over. Or the kidnapping phase of people that have been drugged across the Atlantic Ocean to these United States of America into being servants of that nasty-ass cracker. Oops, I'm sorry. Let me explain again. This right here is called Savannah Black's Conscious Attack. And if I said the word cracker, and it made you feel some type of way, then maybe you need to take a look from within and see what type of hold that this cracker, devil, has on you. The name of this show really don't have no name, but we're talking about the homosexual agenda and how it's trying to take our little boys and little girls. We're talking about the homosexual agenda and how it's trying to come in and corrupt our little black boys and girls and make them into the little toonkies. And I bet you say, well, what's a toonkie? That sounds pretty cool. I want one. Hey, look, you don't want no goddamn toonkie. Nobody want a toonkie. Toonkie is a battle cry the homosexuals use. You hear Lil Wayne? He said, I am not a human being. Do it in my toonkie. If you see me coming around the way, you can say toonkie. That's baby. Don't forget the baby. That dude. But you see Lil Wizzy coming in here. And Lil Wayne telling you about he real and this and that. And he kissing the baby. And look, some of y'all say, well, you know, what's the big deal with that? But do you know that your kids idolize Lil Wayne more than they idolize you, especially a lot of you black fathers? Some of you, you know, locked up in the system and can't be there with your loved ones. Other ones just deadbeat, just don't want to do for their kids and not going to do for their kids. I don't understand it. You know, some of them say, well, you know, hey, man, I ain't had no daddy. I did it by myself. My granddaddy ain't had no daddy. He did it by himself. My great-granddaddy ain't had no daddy. He did it by himself. So, man, shit, that little nigga be all right. And they let the little child go off in the wilderness by themselves. To me, it's the same as tying a damn piece of pork chop around a child's neck and telling them to walk Serengeti, and you're going to meet them 2 miles down the road with no weapon, no knowledge of the hyenas or the tigers or the lions or the bears. You just send your child out there on their own. What you think going to happen? You think they're going to make it on the other end? But see, that's the same. That's what I feel whenever you want to take and you want to send little kids out into this world by themselves. This world is not the same world as it was when your daddy was out there, when your granddaddy was out there. This world is something totally different. And the thing about it is, they're making your little boys and the little girls and your little girls and the little boys. You see, they had a long time ago, well, not a long time ago, they came with the movie Brokeback Mountain. In the movie Brokeback Mountain, I think it won so much a critical acclaim. I think they got, like, Golden Globes. I don't know if they got any Oscar nominations, but I know they got a lot of so-called acclaim and a lot of advertisements. And, you know, you had these people talking about it's the most beautiful movie ever. But the story of Brokeback Mountain is about two cowboys that go to the mountain and they break each other back out. I never seen it. And I'm grateful to the Most High that I never feast my eyes on that nasty, nasty shit. But the story is of these two cowboys, they go off on the weekend or wherever they go, and they fall in love, or they already been in love. I don't really know. But it was opening the door. It started to open the doors to all these actors coming out that said it was gay. And see, back in the days, you had the speculation. The closest thing you had to an outwardly gay actor or musician back in the day that didn't care was faggot Rock Hudson. No. Rock Hudson in his latter years, but Liberace. And they celebrated him being gay. He didn't care. Then you had Isaiah Washington. He came and called one of his co-actors a faggot. He got kicked off the show that he was on. Then you had the NBA coming out after Kobe said some things, a couple other NBA athletes said, you know, the term faggot, a gay, a punk, whatever. And then they talk about saying somebody is gay as a homophobic slur. But, you know, in the black community, we don't get down like that. And people say, out of all the races of people, that black people, out of everybody, do not go with the gay thing. And see, it's something with us that we just don't do. But when I seen the little girls hugging up on each other, and I said, well, damn. I said, you know, it's one thing for the big, but it's another thing when the babies are sissy. The babies are dykes. Then y'all like to say, well, they came out, you know what I'm saying, with a funny cry and this and that. And that never really bothered y'all. I'm talking about really. That never bothered y'all that these kids turn the dykes. That never bothered y'all that these little kids turn the little faggots. But the percentages of people who are homosexual that have been molested, the numbers are staggering. It's up to like 40%+ of all people that have been molested. No, excuse me. 40% of all people that say they are homosexuals, 40%+ have been molested. Some of them, they say that even if they wouldn't have got molested, they still would have been gay. But I find that hard to believe, you know. But the way that homosexuals have babies is they go out. And week before last, when I did my show and I had my partner on, matter of fact, oh, shit, no homo. I can't even say the word partner. When I had my brother on, Messiah 7 from the Giti Gullah Nation, black Messiah such as myself, and we was talking, and I'm thinking about this thing. I'm like, you know what? I got to do this show again because I haven't said the things that I need to say in contrast to the show. But they have all these homosexual type of projects going on, and every time that somebody come out and say something about it, then they call homophobic. The black church one time used to be a place you can go that condemned it, but one of the unsaid things that were going on inside the black church was the homosexuality. But it was like 1.5 to 2.5 faggots per church. But I'm going to read this article. I'm going to read this article where it was talking about the homosexual agenda in the black church and how long it's been there, and we just don't say nothing about it. Give me a second. Let me pull it up. It's called Gays and the Church, a Complex Relationship. And I feel it's important for me to read this article because people call themselves Christian and they go along with this Christian thing and they say, well, you know, I'm a Christian and, you know, you're supposed to love everybody. But I just don't see how you can say that you know, you don't have a problem with this homosexual agenda. But it says, fairly or not, African Americans have become the public face of resistance to same-sex marriage, owing to their religious beliefs and the outspoken opposition of many black pastors. Yet, the presence of gays and lesbians in churches, in black churches, is common. And the fact that they often hold leadership positions in their congregations is the worst kept secret in black America. While many black pastors condemn gays and lesbians from the pulpit, the choir looks behind them often are filled with gay singers and musicians. Some male pastors themselves have been entangled in scandals involving alleged affairs with men. Persons who are in the club serve on the deacon board, serve in the ministry, serve in every capacity in the church. The Reverend, the Reverend Dennis W. Wiley, pastor of Covenant Baptist United Church of Christ in Maryland, said of black churches, Wiley is a prominent advocate of gay marriage. I do believe a certain hypocrisy is there. Faggot Obama, I know I might have made some people offend. I might have offended some people. Let me apologize again for not warning you. I think I did, but I'm gonna say it again. This is Savannah Black's conscious attack, and yeah, I said faggot Obama. In this instance right here, I'm using the term faggot Obama because he is on the of that gay marriage. He is the one signing in the law. The bills that support all these homosexual laws. This man is the first black gay president and the first openly gay president, because all presidents to me have been gay. But one thing I will say, because I believe that most white people are like 70% of them are just gay by nature. They just can't. They either gay by nature or they practice bestiality. They just can't help it. That's 70%. Now, if there's a white person listening and that's not you, hey, man, you know what? You're a rarity. But anyway, Faggot Obama, for the sake of some people listening, I say President Obama, so y'all can know who I'm talking about. Y'all won't think I'm talking about his cousin, Curtis Obama, the openly gay faggot that wear the dress. But anyway, President Obama recent announcement that he supports same-sex marriage turned the spotlight on reservations many blacks have against gay rights. Most polls show African Americans evenly divided about gay marriage, but the vocal opposition led by preachers has gained more attention. Say what? I said, polls show African-Americans evenly divided about gay marriage, but the vocal office led by preachers has gained more attention. This particular decision I find appalling, and I cannot disagree with the president more on it. The Reverend Patrick Wooden, Senior Patrick of the Upper Room Church of God in Christ, North Carolina, said on NPR's All Things Considered, Wooden helped lead the recent campaign that outlawed gay marriage in the state. Y'all give it up for Reverend Patrick U. Wooden. He said not in his state. He led the campaign to outlaw gay marriage. If you want to marry a cow, I can really give a fuck less. But like Michael Jackson said, and y'all should see me while I say that right there, right? Like Michael Jackson said, I'm about to do the spit again. You should keep it in your closet. That's not nothing to be advocating. You trying to get the same rights as your boyfriend? You trying to get some of that insurance money? Go ahead and get some of the faggot insurance money. That's between you and him. I can care less. But, like I was saying earlier, the percentages of homosexuals that have been molested is a high percentage, which is 40%+ of them have been faggots. Well, that are faggots that have been molested. So if Uncle Gus molested somebody, or if Pastor Willie, Deacon Brown, Doodle the first name, molested these little boys, and the mama and daddy didn't know nothing about it, and they came out years later as being gay, sneaking to the parks at night, going to meet up with older white dudes and older black dudes, and it's doing that thing, and they haven't had no type of psychological evaluation to see what's going on up in their mind, what's ticking up there. Then you have to ask yourself, faggot, if you listening, or if anybody y'all know a faggot, y'all tell a faggot, that's my fault. Y'all ain't going to do it if I say that. All right, then. If any of y'all are listening and know a homosexual person that want to call bait me on this issue, by all means, let the brother that like brothers or others call in and we can get down to the nitty. Damn, I can't even say nitty gritty. We can get down and see what's going on. And I guarantee you, I get all off in it. Damn, I can't even say that either. God, I'll tell you what. And I'll tell his... I can't even say that either. But it's hard to kind of say things because when you deal with a homosexual issue, it's certain phrases and words you can't use because a faggot might be listening and he think that he's taking it a totally different way than what you mean by it. I mean, if a homosexual call, what I do is I'll debate him on it, and we'll see whether or not he came out gay, whether or not his uncle or his cousin or his brother or his neighbor or his teacher or anybody, stepdaddy, anybody that took that little boy's manhood before he was even a man. Because if he do call and he do say that he was born that way, then you ask him, because I'm going to ask him, well, what, are you religious? Of course I'm religious. Okay, well, what you practice? Are you Muslim? Oh, gosh, no. What you are? You Hindu? Hell no. You talking about the elephant? Oh, gosh, I can't stand animals. Okay, well, Mr. Faggot Boy, Jonathan, What are you? I'm a Christian. You know I accept Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. Okay, I got you. I figured you was a faggot. But anyway, you saying that God make mistakes. You saying that God accidentally had nodded off a little second while you was being made and accidentally made you into a little boy when inside you a little girl. Right?
Well, I'm not really saying that. I'm just saying that I have always felt this way. Ever since I've been a kid, I used to always play with my little sister, dog baby.
Okay, little faggot. So, how you was then? I was like 3 years old. I always knew I was gay since I've been three. Hold up. You need to tell me that you've been 3 years old and knew you was gay. So, what is it that made you know you was gay? Well, every time my stepdaddy used to come in the house and pick me up, I just was just always attracted to older men. So you mean to tell me at 3 years old, you was attracted? You was attracted. You was attracted to the homosexual and didn't even know what the homosexual lifestyle was. I bet you if I take that same child and I place that same child and hypnosis, then you will see that this child suffers from, oh, my fault, excuse me, I say child, but I'm talking about this homosexual male. You will see that he suffers from some type of traumatic experience that happened to him as a child that his body had created, no, his mind had created a selected memory process to protect him from the abuse that he went through at the time that he wasn't strong enough mentally to endure. So it created a false reality for him to shelter him from the trauma. You take him and you put him under hypnosis and you ask him, how old are you? 3. What happened? My Uncle Billy's coming in the room, and what he did? He took out his thing, and what he did with it? He put this on me. And what happened? I don't remember. I just blacked out. Okay. He be like, well, okay, Billy. But a lot of y'all might listen to the show and say, damn, you know what, Mr. Black, you are hilarious and you are funny. But this is not a laughing matter. I make light of it in a sense because it's something that could be addressed. And if it don't be addressed, then you see after all these millions and millions of years of having a bloodline being erased. If you have a child that's a homosexual, and it's your only child, and you don't have no more kids, and your son is a butt muncher, your daughter is a carpet cruncher, what's going to happen to you? You're not coming back, brother. That's it. It's over for you. So you mean to tell me that you came from the beginning of time, and here it is, now your time is ending because your child followed up with the new status quo that they have for black folks and has become a little homo. Your little daughter become a little lesbian. And the bad part about it is a lot of the little girls and the women that are lesbians, this is the sad part about it. It's even a larger percentage of them which have been, the number of lesbians that have been molested is up in the 70+% projectile rate. And I bet you wonder how in the world that's so. Well, see, these little girls, they playing with their doll, and then that same uncle, as he even molested the damn brother, he going there and he molested the little girl. So when he going there and molested the little girl, next thing you know, she's holding this grudge, and she make herself a promise that it'll never happen again, and then the victim becomes the victimizer. Next thing you know, the victim goes around, well, which now is the victimizer, to go find people to make feel as miserable as they do. So what the little girl do, she take it out on every man that she meets. But the way she do it is not confronting the person who raped her, but to go to these other women, these other females, and to what they call turn them out. And the way they turn them out, it's in such a sick way. And that sick way is that, you know what, I'm going to come back to that in a second. A sister is on the line right now. She said that she had somebody that was trying to get in that's, quote, unquote, a homosexual. After this message right here, I'm going to bring her back on the line him on the line. We're going to see what's going on with this. But I really have some questions that I would like to ask, and I'm quite sure that, you know, you being a listener, listening in, you want to know yourself, you know. But I'll be right back. Savannah Black Concert Tech.
Walking down on 42nd Street. Heard some white folks talking. Had a riot yesterday. 10 niggas died. Died, nigga. Say what? 10 niggas died. Yeah, died, nigga. Went down to Whitehall Street. Heard a sergeant reporting lots of niggas dying in Vietnam. Died, nigga. Died, nigga. Nigga died. Had to get away from niggas. Dying all the time. Went back up to Harlem. Heard a school teacher say, niggas sure are dumb. Almost like they're dead. Die, nigga, everywhere you go. Niggas dying. Niggas been dying for 400 years. Niggas dying with conked heads. Niggas dying in Ivy League suits. Niggas know how to die. Been dying for 400 years. Been practicing how to die. Niggas dying in prison. Niggas dying on farms. Niggas dying in dirty rooms. Even learned how to die in mansions now. Big office buildings. Fancy dying. Niggas love dying. Build big funeral homes so dead nigga undertakers get rich burying dying niggas. Die, nigga. Niggas always trying to die. Niggas get shot. Die, nigga. Niggas get hung. Die, nigga. Niggas get lynched. Die, nigga. Niggas get tarred and feathered. Niggas get boiled in oil. Niggas get carried out of their own homes. Niggas watch their wives get raped. Watch their babies get stomped. Then niggas watch some redneck hunky stand over them and laugh. Laughing, talking about dad, nigga. Actually laughing. Wine bottle in his hand. Cigar in his mouth. Laughing, talking about dad, nigga. Well, go on and die, nigga. You've been dying for 400 years. Niggas know how to die. Niggas don't know nothing else but dying. Niggas dream about dying. Niggas plan beautiful lives. But when they're dead, die, nigga. Nigga preachers tell niggas about heaven. Got to die first. Die, nigga. Niggas love dying. Niggas watch dying on TV. They love it. Niggas watch other niggas die. They love it. Niggas watch Emmett Till die. Niggas watch Mac Parker die. Niggas watch James Chaney die. Niggas watch Bobby Hutton die. Niggas watch Mega Evers die. Niggas watch niggas die. Niggas watch niggas die. Niggas die. So black folks can take over.
Last poet. Niggas watch niggas die, but it's like I said, if these folks get a hold of y'all little children, you best believe, oh, you dead. Your bloodline suffer. But anyway, I'm about to bring a call on the line. 816-816. Come in, 816. You on Savannah Black Constant Attack. What's going on?
Hey. This is Renee. We just became Facebook friends.
Miss Too Legit to Quit. Miss Too Legit to Quit. Oh, I know exactly who this is. And
okay.
This sister right here, she got some Facebook videos. Some YouTube videos. Sister, can you tell some of the listeners the name of some of your videos so they can go check you out on YouTube? I wish I was able to put my words as elegant as she could do, but she does a great job.
Thank you. One video is called The Black Woman is the New Black Man. One of them is called Gay Black Men Now Have the P Word.
The P Word?
Yeah. another word for vagina, but, you know, using the word or letter P. And another one that I have that actually has been banned from everywhere and that people from the GLAAD organization were even going against was called, or is called, I still have it, but the white man taught you how to suck. Beep. And that was not aimed at black women. When I'm talking about he taught you how to do that, it's aimed at black men. Or gay black men specifically. And so, yeah, the titles are a little, you know, but it's to the point. So that's what I like to get to the point.
I think that was the first video I seen a while back.
Okay.
And then from that, I seen the other video. And I was like, what's he? And I see the little symbols behind it, right? I'm like, And then I was like, okay, the same sister that did the first one did this one. Yeah. And it was very interesting. I took one of them and put it on my Facebook page, you know, for people to see. Because I was like, what I liked about it was that you put it out there, like I said, in a way that I would like to, but because of the element that I'm dealing with, I just have to say thank you.
Right, I get you. I hear you.
You know, because when I go up, like, well, hey, you LGBT persons and this and that, they go, oh, nigga, shut up. You know, that's how they talk now. You know, they
right.
are quick to use racial evidence towards us. Even,
absolutely.
You know, but whenever you say a word, a soft word, I'm giving a soft homosexual term, carpet muncher. Pick up my finger. I'm saying that's just I can't sit no lighter than that.
Right.
And I have
right.
a hard time though. When I listen to your video sister, I was like, you know what? I was an admiration. I'm like, wow, man, this is right here, man. Put it down. I like the pictures, I like the location, the way you did it. I'm like, I really loved it. And matter of fact, I'm gonna post this out of the chat room for you know, people can look at it because it's a very wonderful video that puts out the way this homosexual agenda is coming after us as black folks.
Right, right.
I'm sorry, sister, go ahead.
I was going to say, you know, the other day when I copied that post I made or that status I made about the new interracial couple. I'm going to do a video on that as well. So I'm working on that right now. But, with the new interracial couple is for, you know, 2014 and moving forward.
So we have these homosexuals that's waiting out by the locker rooms and waiting in the stands and they at these concerts, the little groupie stages, you know, watching their favorite download homosexual performer, whether it's a rapper, whether it's an R&B singer, or whether it's an athlete, and they thinking they're going to get a piece of the pie, the same way a lot of females groupies do celebrities. But really, the black homosexual man is doing the same thing, basically, that the black heterosexual man is doing in sports and then doing in Hollywood, which is going with the opposite race for their lovers.
Right. Right.
Mm.
But you know what? This shows the sickness, okay? This shows the sickness, the confusion, the, you know, brutality. And it shows the mental illness and assimilation of black people. Because, you know, when you see black men and women, but, you know, predominantly when we see black men who become successful and they get money and all that, it's not uncommon at all to see them with a white woman, sense, you know. Now, maybe before that, white women never would have looked their way. But all of a sudden, when they get money, it's acceptable for them to then be able to get a white woman, and they're okay with that. Well, now, because we have, you know, such a push of this homosexual agenda on the black community, these black gay people who are celebrities and who are not celebrities are now, you know, pushing to have a white, quote-unquote, partner. And, I mean, you know, it's sad because specifically when I look at the relationships, gay black men and gay white men, I mean, it's like it hurts me to my soul because as a black man, to be willing to compromise that much of your manhood, of your ancestry, of knowing all of the brutality and plots and plans that have been put against you by the quote-unquote white man, and yet you're going to lay up with a white man? That you can't tell me that's nothing but mental illness.
Yeah, yeah. I think, you know, it's like that song that Usher got, say, Daddy's Home. You know, because it's like it's something inside their soul that's beating at them so hard. Not only are you gay, but you got to have this.
Right.
All right, look, this is about a black culture attack. I understand it a couple of times. I'm going to have to say it again because some people, they're like, well, I understand, you know, what you're saying, brother. I like the show, but you don't have to say it like that. But I'm going to say it because that's just me.
Right.
The cracker. They got to have that cracker on their damn elbow. It's like soon as a Negro get cheese, he got to get a cracker spreaded on.
Absolutely.
And guess what?
I like that.
You know what? Damn, I'm a philosopher. I need to write that one down.
I'm going to have to steal that. I'm going to have to post
ahead,
that.
Sister,
I'll give you credit,
ahead.
Though. But I love that. I love that.
But thank you. It just came spontaneous. You know, I know one of the ancestors had told me that. I don't know which one, but thank you for giving me that little piece of wording to put out there. But it's like, you know, like Ice Cube say, you know, as soon as y'all get some dough, you want to put a white bee on your elbow. You know, that's what
right.
he said inside a song during the 90s. And now, here it is, as soon as y'all get some dough, white homosexual, you want to put the white boy on your elbow. And the thing about
exactly.
it is, all the white boys kind of look similar. They got that, what old boy in there, George Michael type look, you
mm-hmm.
know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But they've been telling us for the longest that, hey, look.
I work with a white man who's a homosexual, and he is like, you know, he's very straight up about the fact that, oh, no, he doesn't date black gay men. And in hearing some, you know.
What is it, dogs?
he just never really said it. He just said that he doesn't. He's just not into that. And so, you know, but, you know, hearing some black gays talking about it, and they say that the gay or the white gay community, the gay community, which is basically white, are some of the most racist people. It's damn near basically like the gay KKK, they say. And, you know, to know that, you know, these black gay people are just doing everything, they're giving up everything to be able to have a seat at master's table, but they don't understand that they are just being used. And these white men that's with these dudes like Michael Sam's boyfriend and Don Lemon, I can't think all the people that I posted up, but, you know, all those people, their people that they're with, Lee Daniels and all that, those white boys or whatever, they have the same mentality as The white women.
That
with
yep.
Tiger women, Tiger Woods and Michael Jordan's new wife, and, you know,
everybody except for two or three people.
right.
Except for two or three people. Charles Bartlett, Carl Malone, somebody, everybody, basically, you know, they just, it's, you know what, I was at the store the other day, and I was getting some gas, I put some gas in the car, and I'm looking at the store, and I wasn't looking at nobody, you know, specifically, and this brother came up to me and said, boy, I see you like me. I said, what you mean by that? Man, can't keep my eyes off them white women, bruh. I'm sorry, he said like that. He said, man, I see you like me. I said, how's that, bruh? Man, can't keep my eyes off them white women, bruh. And the way he said it, right? I said, well, damn. I said, nah, brother, I'm going to look at the cracker. He said, oh, my fault.
Right.
He said, shit, what's the matter with your eyes, bruh? That's what he said. What's the matter with your eyes, bruh?
Wow.
And walked off.
Wow.
You know, and I'm the type of person when somebody says something, and this was out the blue. It just came from out the blue. Black people, especially black men, when we see each other, it's like we just give each other that acknowledgement. You know, it's like
right.
that. We give a quick eye contact, and we just do a little
right.
head nod, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Just like if something was to happen. I think it comes from when we were kidnapped during the intercoastal Atlanta slave trade that we can bond it like that mentally, which we're not really like that. So my fault, excuse me, psychologically, because really we're not like that mentally like we should
right.
be. But we see each other, we kind of give each other that look like, hey, some shit going on,
yeah.
I got your back, you got my back. That's just something we do. Even though at the same
right.
time are we looking at each other like that, we looking at each other like, you know, if you're looking at niggas. You know, but when
yeah.
I pulled the store, I seen the brother, I gave him that look, he just a calming look, thank you. And he came up to me, and he like, man, you can't keep your eyes off, huh? I'm like, what you talking about? I'm like, what you talking about? What you know? He like, man, I can't keep my eyes on white. I'm like, the white woman? Man, look here, man, I thought you about to come tell me something that was going to give me some knowledge, but I sat at that store for 15 minutes, and I thought about what he said, and I'm like, man. Out of all people at this damn store, he gonna come up to the quote unquote most conscious person and gonna come
right.
tell me something like that. And at that moment, I became grateful because it really let me know how psychologically damaged that we are. It's not
Woo.
So much the people that you know, but it's like most of the people. And it's the same thing
right.
with this homosexual agenda. I can say something about this homosexual agenda, and you'll get brothers, like I said earlier, that have the Malcolm X posters and the X hats. That's old school, that X hat stuff. The X hats, you know, and they're throwing up the right fists and talking about black power, this and all this. But as soon as I say something about the homosexual agenda, it's like a self-defense mechanism come inside of them. It's like Agent Smith from the Matrix that jumped inside everybody that was going against the Matrix. Anybody can be an agent. And it's like these brothers become agents to speak, you know, up and defend homosexuality. And they do it in such a way, you will swear that you're talking about their mama.
Yes.
Why do you
yes.
think, Ms. Legit, that they do that, that they get so belligerent when you tell them about the homosexual agenda?
Well, I have had this problem, oh, my goodness, so much with, you know, me. My whole thing behind this is I'm trying to put together a documentary. But hopefully I will start shooting in Atlanta in August. But, I mean, the whole
Atlanta.
Thing is
hold
like,
on, hold on. So you said you're going to Atlanta?
I'm going to Babylon, but I'm going to where it's going down.
You going to the black gay capital of the earth.
I'm going to where it's going down.
The black gay capital of the earth.
Yes, absolutely.
If you need,
I mean,
if you need
you
some help
it.
For the black messiahs in Savannah, let me know. We have to come down there, you know what I'm saying, because you're going into the belly of the beast. You're going into the digestive system of the beast to plot this documentary.
Ooh. Yeah, I might need, you know what I'm saying, you might have to, yeah. I will definitely hit you up. For sure.
You do that. Yeah.
Okay. I definitely will. But what I was going to say is, you know, with me doing this, I've done so much extensive research because I don't feel comfortable talking about something so in-depth if I really don't know what I'm talking about. I'm not one of those people who just talk to be talking. So, you know, I got deeper into it. I did a lot of research. I put a lot of things together myself. and, you know, and trying to tell other black people about this issue, it's like pulling teeth. Because they end up, like you said, they end up getting mad and angry and upset with me. And I'm just trying to give you the message. I'm just trying to warn you. But I think the reason we do that is several reasons. One of the biggest reasons is because we were taught from day one getting here. We were, you know, basically beat into submission to believe that what we learn and what we know, we have to get from white people. So if another black person is trying to tell a black person something, most of the time, 9 times out of 10, they're not going to hear you or they're not going to believe you. And they will literally say things like, oh, I don't believe it. Where's your proof? Where's the facts at? Where's the information? Where did you get that? You know, and you can give them every piece of documentation in the world. And they still won't accept it. They still won't go for it. But let a white person come around the corner and tell them the very same thing. And even if maybe a part of them does not necessarily agree or may not be sure, they are still going to accept it. They're not going to battle that white person and give me the information. Where did you see that? They're not going to snap off on them like that. They're going to be much more accepting, if not completely accepting, of what they had to say. So that
why
right there comes
white
from
man,
my own right.
Why would the white man lie? Now, here it is. You come on with a bad or black conscious attack, and you're going to tell me that the white man just going to come up and just tell a lie like that.
Right. Right. Exactly.
I kind of find that kind of, I'm saying, in my old lost ways, it's kind of, I kind of find that hard to believe. But mm-hmm. but the white man looked just like Jesus that's on my grandma's refrigerator. Why would he lie to me like that?
Mm-hmm.
But the white man looked just like the Santa Claus that had brought me that big wheel when I was little, even though I wanted a green machine. Why would he lie like that?
Right.
So you old donkey, you see all kind of stuff until my eye. I can't put all my trust in you. But the white man, he give me free lunch just in summertime. The free lunch
exactly.
Talking about to be open. We're going to get free lunch.
Right.
Why the white man going to lie to me?
The goodness, this is what I always say when black people have that response and that kind of thing. It's all about the goodness of white folks. Them are some good white folks. You know, they care about us. Them some nice white folks. And, you know, it's sad because so many of us do not see that's not reality. That's the projection we want to put out there because, and unfortunately, you know, what you were just asking, why do they do that? Another reason is because, I'm sorry, but black people, not all of us, but many of us tend to be reactive and not proactive. Because we have, some of us have gotten so used to and have accepted the victim role, which is that we don't have any power, which is that we can't change anything, we can't do anything, and we're not going to try to. So when something starts to happen, we just let it happen, we sweep it under the rug, and we keep on moving. We keep on moving until it just gets so overwhelming, there's no way you could deny it. And unfortunately, I felt that this is what's going to happen with this homosexual issue, is that, and it's already happening, but people are still in denial in our community, but it's going to have to get so deep, okay, so deep, and to the point that nobody can deny it before black folks say something. And then when they do, it's too late.
You're right.
It's too late.
If people say one of the strongest traits of black people is our capacity to forgive.
Yeah.
And me, you know, I'm trying to think of which one of our great scholars said this, but they said, you know, I won't forgive until I get even. And it's hard to let, you know, and we know that this world is more about material than it is about realism. But, you know, who won't want to ride inside a nicer car or live inside a better home? You know, so when you see people and you know where you sleep at and where you live at, it's roach and rat infested and that you know, you're having a hard time paying the bill. Why shouldn't you feel some sort of way when you see that this white man has the life of leisure, the life of luxury, you know, and just to be forgiven that way, knowing that you're still going through the cycle. And on top of that, not only that you are going through the cycle, but your kids are going through the cycle as well, because you're running around trying to hold up this foundation that was crumbling as soon as it was laid on your shoulders. You know? So when I see people that say, well, you know, hey, man, you have to forgive and forget. When I see people say, well, you know, hey, look, you know, just because they like that don't mean that we have to be like that. Or, here goes the number one. This is the number one thing. This is the one that, I can't kind of, hold on. Excuse me, sister. I'm sorry. Excuse me, Miss Legit. This is the number one thing right here that gets me. When they say, you know what, they're going to have to be the one to ask for that.
Right. That's that passive thing.
We shall overcome.
Yes, that said, we shall overcome.
Slapping, turn the other cheek.
Exactly. That's that whole thing of subduing black people, which is what Christianity was anyway. You know, it was.
Hold up. Now, I'm going to say this right here again. I want my listeners to know. This right here is Savannah Black Conscious Attack. And this sister, Miss Legit, just not got on my show, and it sounded to me like she almost said something about Christianity in a negative way.
Look, this is what I'm
going to say. I had to put that in there. Go ahead and put it in there for him, please.
Okay. You know what, and I have this letter that was written, you know, I think in the 1800s. And it was for missionaries, white missionaries that were going to Africa. And this is legitimate, factual information. And actually, I'm going to post it. I'm going to send it to you. But and it's talking
please
about...
Please put on the website if you can, to the chat room.
Okay, I will. And it's talking about what to tell these people, these Africans, what to tell them and what this is all about as far as to keep them passive, all right? And so, you know, I definitely believe in a God. However, the organized religion of Christianity has done a lot of damage to the black community. I'm going to just keep it 1,000. Because we have begun to live for dying, but not living to live. So when you talk about those things like turn the other cheek, they're going to have to pay for that one day. Those are things that we told ourselves going through brutality to help us feel better about the situation. And even though, you know, there may be truth to that, because I believe in karma, but that still does not mean that we should not be standing up as black people and taking charge of our community. You know, that right there, that mindset is what's held us back. It's what's held us back. And you try to tell some black people this kind of thing, and they get so angry, they get so upset, they can't even take it. And that's one of the problems, because if we were able to come together, see, I want to get black people together, aside from your religious beliefs, you Muslim, you're Christian, you're Buddhist, you're atheist, whatever, whatever group, you need to put that outside the door. And we need to get on one accord about our community. We need to get on one accord about our children. We're doing bad out here. We're doing bad. And the more we're broke off into these little groups, you can't make a big movement. If you're broke all apart, how can you make a big movement? So, and the sad thing about it is with the black church, you know, if you, you know, in interviewing, I've interviewed several gay black men. And it was crazy because they told me one of the first places they ever learned of homosexual behavior and were in a position to be around, yes, in a position to be around other homosexual men, black men, was in the black church.
Mm-hmm.
And we know this.
Jesus.
I mean, we know this. You know?
Oh, Jesus. Oh, Lord. Go ahead, sister.
But we allowed it to happen. And see, now it's just that in more recent times, you know, things have come out about a lot of pastors and their dealings with young boys and their dealings with men and this, that, and the other. But that kind of has been going on for a long time, and people knew of it, you know, but people didn't call it out. And that's the thing. You have to be careful who you put in a position of teaching. You have
You're
to be
right.
careful. You know what I mean? Who you say can be a teacher.
But listen, they have this thing inside the church whenever I say something negative, well, I'm using the term negative. It's not negative. All right. Whenever I say something bad about a preacher, and the preacher, you know, do something, you know, they'll say, trust not thy anointed. Trust not thy anointed. You know, and I'd be like, well, hey, look, you know, he got caught, you know, with the choir boy. Well, maybe that happened. I don't want to la la la. I don't want to hear about that right there. And here it is, who you supposed to be to talk about a man of God? Just not dying knowing it. If that's what he did, then that's going to have to be between him and Jesus.
Right.
You know,
right.
And I'm sorry, they I'm sorry, you look at their face, the chemical makeup, everything about them has changed. The breathing, the facial muscles. I'm talking about their voice. It's just like this thing just jumps inside of them, and they're so caught up with the chant that they are caught up with the enchantment that the preacher put out there. And I use the word enchantment because, you know, the preacher, he know how to do this certain type of chant that get people riled up. But, Mr. hold on for a second. I want to keep you on the show, but I'm going to take a little small break, and I'm going to play a little bit of comedy. I just have to put something out there to make you laugh because, you know, this right here is enough. I'm sorry, it's like you said, it's very sad, and it's hurtful to the soul. But you have to kind of bring comedy up a little bit in some of these things in order to get by to the next day. So, you know, the Most High knows that I do, because if I don't, it's hard for me just to hold myself back how I used to be and going out handling business like I used to be. I'm trying to be a little bit more intelligent with the issue, but it's just getting out of hand. But I'm playing this right here. Here's Eddie Griffin with a comedy skit he did called How to Catch a Predator. We'll be back on Savannah Black Conscious Attack. Guess what, sister? Ain't playing. So I'm gonna have to take hold on for a second, Mr. J. Let me take this call right here from 404. You're on the air. 404. You are on the air with Savannah Black Conscious Attack. I guess I want to bring 404 in. Mr. J, you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay,
I'm trying to get in contact with the guy.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Bring him on. We'd like to have him on. You know, it's not so much of me trying to destroy nobody, right? But I don't want to be like the little chicken that's running around screaming, the sky's falling. Everybody tell me I'm wrong.
Exactly.
But I know there is a homosexual agenda.
Yes.
Agenda.
Yes.
And I think, was that you that said that they identify with being homosexual before they identify with being black?
Yes. Absolutely.
Okay.
Yep.
And see, that was my thinking the whole time before I heard that. I said, you know what? I said, man, I know it. I know I'm not crazy.
Mm-hmm.
People say I'm crazy, but I know I'm not, man. These people, they got an agenda out. When I see little babies, and I use the term babies to describe a child 16 years and younger. Those are babies.
They are.
And when you see them, these beautiful girls, taking on the identity of little boys.
Yeah.
You know, when you see these little boys that can be the next Malcolm X, the next Messiah Marcus Garvey, or the next Honorable Elijah Muhammad, or the next Khalil Muhammad, or whoever it is that you want to name, that you see that have fought the strong fight to try to uplift the African and American community. And you see these people, and next thing you know, you see these little boys, they gay. You can't help me.
Yeah.
You can come and say, man, look, you know, gay is the new black. If gay is the new black,
help
am
me.
I.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Number one, I have to tell you. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I'm saying, you get into a scuffle, you in Atlanta. You know, you like, damn, I can't get in contact with the man in black, but none of the brothers. I'm here by myself. And then somebody say, hey, sister, what's going on? What's the matter? You're like, well, you know, these people, they want to attack me. Y'all ain't going to mess with her. What she did anyway? She talking bad about us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What you mean by that? What's her name, sister? Oh, I'm Miss Lejeune. Oh, hell no.
Right.
We know you.
Right, exactly.
We know you know, but just like I said, you know, if I see somebody different on a homosexual person, and just strictly because they're homosexual, and they haven't did anything or something, just be whatever it is that somebody had helped create, or the thing they like to say, when they say that God is, you know, is faulty, is that they were created that way, you know, then I'm gonna help him. I'm gonna look, man, I can't let you jump on him or her because, you know, of her to a preference. But at the same time, under that breath, I say that. But then under your breath, you say, well, thank you for helping me. You know, I want you to come join our organization. He's like, what organization you got? You give away, you know, free food to the homeless. You help, you know, got a mentoring program for the black kids, whatever. You know, they're like, no, I'm LGBT, and we love to have somebody like you. Oh, hell no. Now I done say that. Now you trying to indoctrinate me into your homosexual agenda. And then I'll become one of those people. You're like, well, hey, Savannah Black.
Oh, okay.
How you doing?
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but the guy I was trying to get on, I didn't know he was messaging me, but his name is Eric. But he said he's on 704.
704, okay, give me a second. Let me, I'll bring him in as soon as I get, because I want to ask him some questions, and I'm quite sure, you know, some people online want to ask him, you know, some questions. You know, because this thing has to be addressed.
Yeah.
And I ain't trying to bring you on here to ridicule you. And I'm being serious and sincere. And you know, whatever question I ask, you know, it's not destroy you.
We were going back and forth on Facebook on a couple of posts about. I think one was the guy. King and Queen. And then the other was about the black gay athletes and stuff coming out. So me and him had been going, at it back and forth. So I am interested too in, seeing.
I'm bringing my computer line back up. It kind of has, oh, I got two computers. I forgot. but yeah, give me a second. What's his name? What, Jerry? Gerald? Whatever.
No, his name is Eric.
Jerry. I'm going to bring you. Eric?
Yes, Eric.
Well, give me a second, Eric. I'm going to bring you on because, man, we Also, Ms. Legit, can you send us that video, send us your video, because we want to put them on the front page of the Culture Freedom Radio website.
Okay.
You know,
I was trying to figure out how I could do that with the one video that they banned.
Thing about it, they can't, I don't know, you know, they want to ban, so they're going to ban it. You know.
Yeah.
But that's a good thing, though. That's a good thing.
Yeah, because it was real. It was real. And the people who saw, few people who did see that, and I put it on Facebook, and within like 2 or 3 hours, it was taken down. And they said it was hate speech. I mean, they completely shut it down. And I couldn't even get to any of my comments because just in that period of time, I had like so many comments. I couldn't even see my comments or anything. They just completely shut it down. And they, like, gave me a strike against me and everything. And I tried to appeal it because I said I didn't say anything hateful. I didn't call anyone out of their name, none of that. I truly spoke on facts and factual information. I didn't, you know, not at all. But then I put it on Facebook. And then Facebook started, you know, people were liking it. So many people asked me, could they have the video? And Facebook then sent me texts or started sending me messages talking about, we're reviewing this. We've gotten several complaints of, you know, hate speech and this, that, and the other. And then something with Glad was in. I mean, it was just like, really? So then they took it down. Then I put it on Vimeo, whatever it's called. They took it. It was up there for a little bit. They took it down. Same thing.
Huh. But I mean, it was a powerful video. They went through all that. But anyway, we have the guy online. Eric, are you on the line?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. But I'm glad you let the sister talk and you didn't come in and, you know, interrupt it. Thank you. I appreciate that.
I agree with most conscious people. But my problem is not to put no salt on nobody's wounds. We all are human. I don't give a damn you black, white, gay, whatever. You're human. When we, as black people, we deny other people. We are big in denying people who they are. We created the DL phenomenon. I don't agree with it, but we created that. People are DL because they feel the shame which you put on people. When you say they're going to hell or you saying they are not natural, they find ways to express who they are. And sometimes how they express themselves are destructive not only to them but our community because we are in denial on a lot of things. We can't just love the sinner but hate the sin. That's how we live. Well, we want to deny that. We want to deny the individual. We don't see people. We're the only people who see people as people. We don't see people as individuals. I don't see through your eyes. I don't see through her eyes. She don't see through my eyes and vice versa. I don't care who's gay, straight, I don't care. Yes, they hated white men or white women, but we got to look at what created that for them to choose white men or white women. But I know a lot of gay couples who are black with black people. But yet we deny what other people are. We don't deny the same blood is in my arms, is in their arms, in your arms. We still got blood. We still got two eyes to see. Whatever I see will be totally different. You say tomato, I say tomato. Who are we to judge? We as black people got
to
judge.
Who are we to judge?
No, who are
we
to
judge?
But when you said it done, God is not going to say, were you conscious? God is not going to say, what have you done that would bear my name? What have you done to make this world better? Eliminate gay people. Let me tell you something. God can speak for himself. God don't need me, you, or her to speak for anybody. God don't need
Eric,
to speak for his brother.
Let me ask you this right here, Eric. Are you a Christian? Eric, well, are you a Christian?
I'm a Gnostic, but I'm going to have to point out the black church has let me down. But the black church tells you one thing, but yet they're in your pocket the next. Or they say hate the sin, but love the sinner. Yeah, we got Bishop Eddie Long, no offense to him and his church, but the thing is, it is what it is. He paid people off, but he knew that they were what he was. What he did, he thought they were paying off his victims. If they would keep quiet, I can make you feel like crap, but yeah, I don't pay you off just to keep you quiet. That's the atmosphere where black, especially black gay men have created. Because we have created an atmosphere that black men have adopted behaviors that may seem destructive. Remember, we did not.
And you know what?
It
is destructive. It is destructive when it invokes being a culture.
But
so let me ask you this. Are you LGBT?
You can look on any any radio station right now. You don't really know. I have 10,000 songs on my iPod, and none of them professes gay sex. None of them. You can look on Love and Hip Hop. Girl, I teach at a grade school volunteer. They were talking about the shower rod. So what do you, and you saying like a man wants to dress or make kids gay? That's BS. I have a 21-year-old daughter, college graduate. I taught my daughter people are people. You can't just say people are people.
Eric,
you can't just say, yeah,
Eric,
one of them.
Let me finish.
Hold on for a second. Go ahead. Okay, women wearing pants. Is that why we got black women outnumber black men at HBCU, historically black colleges? Do we see women wearing pants and what they are now in the home where men are not in home, where men left the home just for mom to get welfare? Is that why that they were wearing pants? That's the same similarity. A man wearing a dress ain't going to make a boy gay. If a boy decides he's gay because you see a man wearing a dress, something's really wrong with that kid.
Eric, can you let somebody respond, please? Eric, can we take turns with
Eric, I had to put you on, I had to put you on mute for a second because, you know, I was trying to get in, the sister was trying to get in to ask some questions and to answer back on what you said. But you can go ahead, Mr. Jit. I'll bring you back in, Eric. Go ahead, sister.
Okay, I was going to say a couple things. First of all, he was talking about God and judging and everything like that. First of all, that's one of, really, honestly, religion has nothing to do with this. And that is why in my videos and everything I talk about, I never talk about this being a sin, abomination, and all that stuff. I never seen any of that. And I'm going to tell you why. But, you know, the thing about it is we are making all of these big issues when it's really not very big. The main thing is this is something that is being targeted at our community, and it is hurting us. Now, I don't talk about religion because right there that's going to isolate people. Really, it has nothing to do with religion. It has to do with nature. It has to do with the social and political climate. See, I could sit here very well and say this is a sin, that's a sin, and so on and so forth. But if you believe in another religion, then maybe that doesn't fly. But when we look at nature, see, nature is something that cannot be denied. Nature is something that you cannot agree with or disagree with. It is what it is. And we know that by nature, okay, it's man and woman. We know that. Now, to me, everything else around that is just a fabrication because people try to validate their own sexual, you know, proclivities and so on and so forth. And so they begin to try to make definitions for them and make names for them. But we know what our true nature is, Eric, and that's the thing that gets me the most. And when I talk to many, many gay black men about this issue, the first thing they talk about is religion. I say, I never spoke about religion. And the next thing they want to say is, well, you can't judge me or you can't judge anyone. And my feeling on that is, even if you are religious, even if you are religious, you have to judge. That's just what it is. Okay, now when I talk about judging, I'm not talking about judging the person. I don't know every gay black man or every gay black person to say the type of person they really are. What I'm judging is the behavior, is the lifestyle of homosexuality, the fact that it's not healthy for us. That's what I'm talking about. You have to judge every day. If you go to a job interview, do they not judge you to see if you would be a good fit for the job? Do you not judge them to see if you would like to work with this supervisor or manager or whatever?
Exactly.
So that's,
do you go
into
that dark alleyway? Do you go down that dark alleyway where you see four or five brothers down there, you know, and you by yourself
right.
and it's 3 o'clock in the morning, you're a female? Is that a judgment call or not? You got to judge, make the best decision possible in order for your survival or for your well-being. But, see, they like to throw that term judge up. But he does not say that he had a 20-something-year-old daughter. And I'm about to bring you back on. Eric, I want to ask you this right here.
Woman walk by, they think they gotta have her. What we created?
All right, I guess you feel like you got the whole homosexual nation on your shoulder. Go ahead, you speak for your brothers and sisters.
No, we are brothers and sisters. We gotta understand. When we judge other people, we get judged back the same tenfold. Well, we care, but if we get rid of all gay people tomorrow, what is the state we will be in now? We're going to still be in a state of disarray. We are in the state of being because of what poverty. We got in the state of being because of religion. We got state of mind because some of us are elitist. Some black people are so far from the hood. We got two different classes of black people, you know, those who have and the have-nots. We take pride in the drama where we see on the Real Wives of Atlanta or the Haves and Have Nots.
But let me ask you this right here. You said that you have a daughter. Is that your biological daughter or is adopted?
Yeah.
So
she came from my loins.
All right, when you first started speaking, you took up for people that were going to download. You said, well, that's why people are going to download this. Were you on the download during the time when you had, you know, been in a relationship with your child's mother?
When you implying people are gay for taking up for gay people, say something about your intelligence. When you apply that,
but you think you're not gay?
That's like people saying that you are conscious, that you speak on consciousness. I speak on what's human. I'm a human. Okay? Coretta Scott King was not gay, but she took up for gay people. But yes,
but there's a difference, Eric.
Hold up a second. Y'all deny what's going on. There's a bigger picture for black people besides gay people.
I had to put you on hold again, Brother Eric. You know, I was trying to ask you something. The sister was trying to ask you something. And you're going off now. You really are taking up for the LGBTs now. I'm saying, I'm going to take this recording or this show, and I'm going to send it to the lesbian, homosexual, gay agenda people and let them hear that there's a new flair on the scene, and his name is Eric. And Eric got some choice words to say about people that attack homosexuals, such as myself, and people that explain what's going on with the homosexual agenda, such as Sister Miss Legit. But...
You know,
go ahead, ask him what you need to ask him, because Eric is on fire. Eric is hot.
Okay, I'm going to ask Eric a couple questions. But Eric, first I want to say this, okay? We're all adults here, okay? We need to all give everybody an opportunity to talk. So you just talking loud and talking over everybody and not stopping, that's childish, and we need to be more mature about it. So allow everyone to speak, okay? I will be quiet and let you speak. Just don't try to run everything. And this is not even our show, okay? This is his show, first and foremost. Also, I wanted to say that you seem very passionate. You seem very emotionally driven about this issue. And, you know, I'm not going to say whatever your sexuality is. I mean, that's, of course, your business. But when you're on here defending LGBT and everything like that, you know, I've heard people defend other causes, but the emotional level you're at, it seems as if you have a personal attachment. So that is what it is. But what I wanted to ask you, though, is do you see or recognize...
I want to bring you back on. She want to ask you a question, but I don't want to have to put you on mute, you know what I'm saying? I want to try to get this thing going, because she want to ask you a question and want to respond at the same time. You know, if you want to ask her to say something, that's cool, too, but we're going to try to, you know, do this thing right here right.
Okay,
that's
go
cool.
Ahead.
That's cool? Okay.
Okay, go ahead. I
wanted to ask you, do you at all see a gay agenda, whether it's on black people or not? Do you see a gay agenda?
No, I do not. Do you know why? I look at shows like Love and Hip Hop. I look at songs on the radio that dehumanize black women. What agenda is that? We got called women, I don't know if you say bitches and hoes on the radio, but yet that's what they say. You know how many times you can look on the radio right now, they always talk about either money, bitches, hoes, whatever. That's an agenda. That's the agenda, yeah. That's the agenda.
Eric,
I grew up here more than one in drag, okay? I didn't want to be dragged, okay? I saw Flip Wilson growing up. I didn't want to be dragged.
But, Eric,
so what agenda
you know,
did we have?
But, Eric, what
my daughter wore
a man.
She don't want to be with a woman. So what's the point? My daughter wore jeans. Does she want to be a woman? No, my daughter has a degree in engineering. She has a boyfriend.
Let me say this, though, Eric.
Okay,
I'm going to tell you what the agenda
you
want to
divert,
is. I'm going to tell
you
what
the agenda
divert,
is. Too?
Let me break down the agenda for you. Okay. Now, you're saying that you saw this, you saw that, it didn't make you want to put on the dress and all those kind of stuff. Okay. What we have to remember is people need to stop thinking as an adult for a moment. Okay. This is about our children. Right. This is about our children. Okay. Now, the reality of it is children are very impressionable. And what the aim is right now from these gay organizations and this gay movement is to indoctrinate children as early as possible.
You know, that is BS.
Accepting. Wait a minute. I'm going to give you some facts.
That's BS. That really is BS.
I'm
going to
give you some facts.
No,
let me give you
know,
some facts.
No, I
let
don't care. No, that
facts.
Is BS.
They
somebody's
want to indoctrinate.
Believing this, no, somebody's believing this crap. Somebody's believing you. That's a messed
can
up.
Can I give
life.
You
somebody's
some
believing you. No,
can
somebody's believing your lies. You are telling
can
some
give,
lies, my sister.
Can I give
I love
you some facts, though?
Yeah, but you're telling
hey,
some lies.
Hey, let me see whether you agree with him or not. Eric, let me finish. Brother Eric, I gave you a chance to take up for the LGBT community and to have some type of logic, but I swear it's hard when I have you on the show, even though you are a gay individual, but you still are a man, and you say you have a daughter, but it sounds like you are about to cry. Now, the sister one that asked you some things about the gay agenda, and you like, no, I refuse to believe it. You closed-minded. So,
exactly.
Mr. Jit, how can you get across to somebody like that? Now, what
exactly.
You can do, Mr. Jit, you still can just put out some of those gay agenda facts for the listening audience.
Okay.
Me trying to bring Eric back in, which I would like to. Oh, damn, I can't even say that. I mean, no homo. Which I would like to put Eric back on the line. But I'm kind of thinking about it because if I do, what you gonna keep on trying to overtalk everybody when we're just all trying to have a show that's talking sense and not nonsense. But go ahead, sister. Just put it out
let
there, please.
Let me be quick with it. Okay, let me be quick with it. Okay, now, this is what I'm saying. When we are children, we are very impressionable.
Right now, they're trying to indoctrinate young children as young as possible into accepting homosexuality, this LGBT movement, into believing into all of these things, all right? Now, when gay marriage passes in the state, it then becomes state mandated for those, for schools, public schools, to teach about homosexuality, all right? People don't understand it. Now, in elementary school,
my dad's roommate.
Daddy's roommate, all right? My dad and his roommate, books like King and King, where at the end of the book, the two kings kiss each other, and a few other books as well, all right? Now, also a book called Princess Boy. They have these kind of things that are being told to children so that when they see a boy as a princess, as a little kid, then they accept that and they say that that's right and that's proper and that's good. All right? Now, as you move up and they get older and older, they have something called a black book that they were giving out. And in this book, it shows and teaches young men how to have sex with another young man. Now, what we have to remember is with the black community, we are talking about several things that make us more susceptible. One of them is we're dealing with an 80% single mother rate, okay? That means you have a whole hell of a lot of kids, and specifically a lot of black boys who are being raised by mama, grandma, auntie, sisters, okay? So these are tons of women around them. We know through research that children emulate their same-sex parents. If that same-sex parent is there, who else do they have to look to gain any, you know, societal views and how they carry themselves? So they're looking to their mother and the other women around them, okay? That right there becomes an issue, all right? Fathers not in home, as I said. And some of these boys don't even know their fathers, all right? You add that into the mix. Then you add into the mix as children get older into adolescence, they don't listen to their parents. That has been proven. They are more inclined to listen to their peers. And what we have right now with young black people and teenagers is this whole bisexuality thing, this whole feminizing black men thing, this whole thing with young girls being lesbians and they being studs and femmes and all that type of stuff. See, y'all don't understand. This runs deeper, see. And when you have kids being raised in a single mother home and the mother's already out there trying to work her butt off to do the job of two people, you have children who are left to be raised by the entertainment industry, by music, by what they see, by their peers, okay, because they don't have that parental guidance, okay? They don't have that parental supervision to make sure that they're doing what they need to be doing. So then what you have, like right now, you have all these rappers out there who are supposed to be bisexual or gay or whatever. People don't know what they are. They're wearing skirts. They're wearing dresses. And they try to introduce these things so it desensitizes you. It desensitizes you to keep going, ramping it up, right? Yeah.
Let me just right quick, since you said that, let me just go ahead and run these names down right quick. I might miss a couple, and I might don't. I might then write all of them down, which more likely I didn't. But I just want to say this right here. We have Flip Wilson, Lil Wayne, Eddie Murphy, Martin Lawrence, Andre 3000, Puffy, ASAP Rocky, Ben Rain, Jay Z, Young Thug, CeeLo, Tyler Perry, Eminem. No surprise. I'm just putting him on the list because he's an influence in the music industry. Pusha T, Mos Def, even Mos Def with Kente Cloth skirt on, and Snoop Dogg with a long nightgown-type dress on, and Kanye West. Just to name a few, those are some of the brothers in the entertainment industry that wore the dress from Flip Wilson back in, I think, was the late 60s, the early 70s, all the way up to present day. Snoop Dogg, Kanye West, and all the others that I had named. Go ahead, sis. I just had to put them out there.
Is Eric on? But I just want to give you just this strong example, because he said what I was saying was BS, and that doesn't cause anything. Let's think about this, all right? It's very easy to see that it does. Let's think about the gangsta rap movement. Did that not influence young black people to go in a certain direction or think this is cool and that's cool and I'm going to do this and I'm going to wear my clothes like this? Did that not influence them? Let's talk about now. this whole idea, and see, this is where a lot of the lesbianism came from in the black community, is because you had these rappers talking about having two girls. You had rappers like Young Dro talking about, my girl got a girlfriend. And
my
I remember
girl got
when
a girlfriend.
That. Right. And a lot of girls and men, young black people, thought that that was cool. They thought it was cute. And so you started seeing girls getting involved with other girls with a man and this, that, and the other. That influenced them. Listen to music now. People, young people are constantly trying to do what they see in a video, what they hear on the song being talked about. They ain't got no money, but they trying to go cop this and cop that. So why the hell would you think those things have an influence, but all of this gay BS being pushed everywhere wouldn't have an influence?
See, some people feel as though because it's not them as an individual, that the way they think should be the way that everybody else thinks. The way they
right.
feel should
not.
Be the way that everybody else feel. And those are the Clarence Thomases. Those are the J.C. Watts. And those are the Michael Steele. That's his name, Michael Steele? That they put
right, yes,
in the front line to speak, the Condoleezza Rice's, that they put in the front line to speak for the black folks. Those are prominent Negroes that tell us of how we are doing things that we don't got no business doing, and that we are lazy,
right.
and that we are sorry. See, and it's people like Eric that comes on, mm-hmm. and you're giving them a chance to talk, but he's like, I refuse
right.
to believe that. That's nonsense and this and that. You're trying to give him facts. But like
mm-hmm.
you said, maybe
mm-hmm.
if you had a white man, a gay white man,
yeah.
to tell him that, he'll say, well, you know what? I never had thought of it like that right there, but maybe you
yeah.
might. But hold up for a second. Let me take this call. I got somebody on 912, 912.
Hello?
Yeah, yes. Hello. Sister Bass. Yes, Sister Bass. Oh, yeah, his call dropped. He probably called right back in. I just had to step in. Yeah, his call probably dropped.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Really. Yeah, you go ahead, Sister, keep talking. I'm just stepping in while he's trying to call back in.
Oh, okay. Okay. But, yeah, I was just going to say, too, you know, people all the time have said that's BS, that, you know, what you see and what they see, kids seeing this, that, and the other, it won't influence them. Are you insane? You know, that's what I want to tell people when they say that, because these corporations put together these things called focus groups, and they put focus groups together to make sure that the advertisements that they put out in the media, in the, you know, entertainment industry, that these things will have an impact on people. They do millions of dollars of studying on how to get into people's subconscious, on how to have an effect on them so that they will buy certain things, get certain things, do certain things. I have no clue why black people believe that this gay thing will not have an impact on young black kids. Well, we already know our community is hurting. We already know our community is doing bad. We already know the parents are not even hardly in the home. So how the hell can you expect for these kids to have such resolve and such ability to know what's wrong and what's right and what's good and what's bad when what's being pushed around them is showing them that this gay stuff is all good? And, you know, that's what I'm not understanding. So if you look, and all of us, no matter what age you are or race, advertisements and all that kind of stuff have an effect on you. When you ready to go out to eat, what do you think about sometimes? Oh, I've seen this commercial where they had this, that, and the other. Seen this and that. You know what I mean? Those things seep into your subconscious. And what has happened is over many years, there has been an influx of gay propaganda, okay, on television, gay characters and such. And what it has done, it has desensitized people. So now it's completely expected and accepted to have gay characters and gay people around. And see, they just sneak it in on you.
a little bit at a time. Because, see, if they all threw it at you at one time, people would rebel, people would, you know, be up in arms. But if they give you just a little bit of time, a little bit at a time, then eventually you don't even notice it's happening to you. And, you know, how Eric was talking, I mean, it's pretty clear to me that he's gay, but or bisexual or whatever he wants to call it. But,
gay.
You know, what? I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, just gay, go ahead. That's
yeah. But see, that's what gets me, is I find that the most sad, that these gay black people, and you already know what the lifestyle is about. Why are you not trying to stand up and say anything to help make sure that, you know, people know that this is not something you want to do? See, I was talking to this one, interviewing this one black guy, and he told me, he said, I'm going to be honest with you. He tried to battle me like Eric, but he said, I would never want my child to be gay. I would never want my child to be a homosexual, regardless.
Let me ask you,
right?
Sister, how many, I don't know, all them guys you talked to, how many of them were molested? What percentage would you say, what percent of the ones that you interviewed, what percentage would you say that were sexually assaulted, molested? Whether it was you know, somebody that's a counselor or somebody that's, you know, that they looked up to, a family member, what percentage of them were molested as kids? Or this first sexual encounter was a molestation, I think.
I would say probably 40 to 50%, but I think that's probably likely low because sometimes some of the guys I talked to wanted to be so, I wasn't molested, And, you know, I'm like, okay, I'm not saying they are or they were or they weren't, but some were defensive in that way. But I know one of my best friends who came out to me as being gay when we were like 17, he told me right off the bat. He said he was molested from age 3 to 8 by, I think it was an uncle or an older male cousin in his family. And he said that he feels that that never would have happened to him. He would not be homosexual today. And there's a study done by the I'm Free Project, and they looked at the two biggest factors that almost all the gay black men had in common. And that was a lack of father or masculine role model consistently in their life, and child molestation, be it by men and by women, because then you sexualize a child, you know, and they begin to associate a man with pleasure, with sex, and that feeds into them growing up believing that and accepting it.
You know, we always have homosexuality in the community, and I always tell people, hey, look, man, you know, we always have homosexuality. But it's like I was telling Eric, it was never to the point that it was a culture of ours. It was that, you know, so-and-so over here was gay and so-and-so over there was gay. And you look at any school, you know what I'm saying? I don't know how you are, but I know, you know, my age bracket and, you know, the schools I went to, we always had, like, probably about 87. Oh, yeah, girl. You know,
probably. No, I said I'm an
80s
baby.
Oh, I thought you said you were 87. I was about to say, you know, about Let's Boogaloo. But anyway, hey, 80s baby, you know what? But thank you for being on the air. But anyway, but we always had, like, probably about 3.5 to 5 homosexuals at any given time in our school of 1,000, right, or more. It has been like this gay boy over this side, this gay boy over that side, and at lunchtime you might see them all hanging together, but it's no more than just a couple of them, you know? Or they individually be with girls, or the girls that we called back then, they weren't lesbians, they were tomboys.
Right.
You know? You see some of them now today, they were like, you see them, like I go to the club and I see them, they have these dresses up, so they be female all the way down. Like, oh, Veronica, oh, hey, my, blah, 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 blah. He's like, girl, you can be rough. Yeah, I see a tomboy, you know. But That was just their way because they probably had, you know, grew up around brothers. So this was the tough girl. Anything you can do, I can do better. I can do anything better than you type girl, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it never was like you thought of them as being Kate. You
right.
know, this was
right.
just a tough girl, you know. But then I tell people when you have homosexuals and they don't have kids the same way that regular people do, and I heard a pastor say, well, Pastor Tony Smith, I don't know if you're familiar with him, I was, but Pastor Tony Smith said that the way that homosexuals make babies is that the victim becomes the victimizer.
Absolutely.
And the percentage of people that have been sexually abused in turn become abusers themselves.
Absolutely.
And the number of
Absolutely.
People that they sexually abused, I'm sorry, the numbers are, it's like 10 and better. It's like 10 and better that they abuse.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's just something that awakens inside of them where it's a misery love company where they go out and they do the same thing to a child that's been done to them. And then that
right.
child, in turn, if they don't get no type of help, if they go through their whole life keeping that secret, become either sexual deviant or they become
yes.
homosexuals themselves, pedophiles. Now, you know,
Absolutely.
Not to live the homosexual lifestyle, but to a man, a bisexual male and a homosexual male, it's just no different.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? Mm-hmm. But people, they always say that. Well, you know what? Just because you feel that way, it's like Eric on the line this time. And I wish that he wasn't just so down. Eric, you just so crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my mom, you just so gazy. But anyway, you know.
You said, is Eric still on the phone?
Nah, I think he hung up.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, I wanted for him to be able to talk because I had some
mm-hmm.
questions I wanted to ask him. I thought we would be able to do it inside a calm manner because, you know, the amazing thing was to me was that he said that the gay agenda was foolishness.
Yeah. Yeah.
can you believe that?
I can. Sadly, I can. But see, that's what we're up against. That right there is what we're up against when we're talking about the black community, because that's the pushback. It's always the pushback because we don't want to acknowledge a lot of things. And when you're talking about, especially if you're a part of that lifestyle, oh hell no, you're gonna go say whatever you gotta say in order to make it seem like that's a lie, and you know that's not really true. But, you know, the thing about it is when you talked about the abuse and everything, the video that I had called The White Man Taught You How to Suck D was all about that. And I went through the whole thing. I mean, that was my best video ever. In that video, I talked about how these things, these sexual perversions, were pushed upon us. These are things that we did not do. This was done to us. Okay, so when our ancestors were brought here, okay, and they had us captive, all right, they enslaved us, of course, which means, hey, you can do whatever the hell you want to do. Nobody's going to make you accountable for it. So you have six people who already have a black heart enough to where they will enslave another human being. Do you not think that they will do all kind of things to these people? And see, people always know that black women were raped, and, you know, we know of the mulatto babies and things like that. But what people don't know or don't realize is black men were raped just as well. And they don't realize that, especially young black boys and teenage boys, they many times were so brutalized. And turns out it was ridiculous. They would take young black men especially, and they would dress them up in dresses and wigs and makeup and, you know, the women's garb or whatever, and they would have little parties, and the guys would be there dressed up as women, and the white slave owner and his people or whatever, these other men, and then they would take these boys and you know, have them do sexual acts with them. And but then they had something called bus breaking. So this is interesting if you think about this, because they took the biggest buses, what they call the studs, okay, one of the ones they would use to breed with. They would take one of them, and especially if you were at all resistant, and they would have other people hold you down, other slaves or whatever, hold you down. They would have your wife or your woman out there. They would have you. Yeah, they would have your oldest son out there in the front row, and the slave owner and whoever else, they would sodomize you, all right, in front of everybody. So you're talking about taking away people's self-esteem, their manhood, their self-respect, their decency. Can you imagine how that feels? And they did it because of sexual perversion, and they also did it to diminish them, because you can make him a better slave if you take his manhood.
If he's docile, exactly.
And today to see so many black men, gay black men, who willingly put on these makeup and dresses and all this stuff, and I say to myself, do you know where that came from? Do you know where that came from? And when you see these big old buff black men who are turned out and gay as hell, it just makes me, I mean, you know, but see what happened is when they did that to the slaves, right, but like you were just saying, the abused became the abusers. So then that's how that molestation and that DL stuff, that's how all of that got is seeped into our race, and it was on the low for so long. All that stuff's been always going on. But, you know, that's how it was introduced to us through the white man. They did it to us.
You know what? I got hold on. I see that Eric's still on the line.
Oh, okay.
Eric's still on the line. You know, I want to bring him on, but I'm kind of reluctant. See, I'm being real nice. You know, look, you just don't know you're one of my idols. Brothers and sisters, I got Miss Legit online. She just don't know. I done looked at the videos, you know, several times, and I'm like looking at it. I ain't got a little while. I'm like, yeah, sister, go ahead and see that thing, sister. And I'm like, damn, I wish I was able just to word it like that. But coming from where I come from and being the type of person I am, it's just hard for me to keep my composure but so long. And I was keeping my composure with Eric, not just on account of him, because like I said, it's Savannah Black Carson Tech, and I know how I get, but I'm doing it on account of you, you know. I said the F word. Earlier I had said the F word, and usually I just don't say the F word. I say the F word.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But, but people just don't know. I one of the brothers, Brother Anthony, he like, yeah, you know, he said, since be dropping that knowledge, I've seen some more work, you know. And I'm like, yeah, you know. Just like, I said, yeah, she cool, you know, because looking at the videos, I'm like, man, now, if somebody see this right here, there's no denying. But obviously, you know, Eric didn't see your videos, and if he did, from, you know, him not even giving you a chance to speak, he would deny everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? He would deny it. He's like, I don't think that's true and this and that. I got a daughter, and she's an engineer, and she has a boyfriend. Okay, Eric,
well,
good
for
you. But he's speaking as an individual that's speaking for the whole culture.
Right.
See, I used to say the word group, but it's not a group. It's a culture. And it's like,
it's like a
white person that goes to the Apollo. What old girl name is that died who said Tina Marie? It's like a Tina Marie,
Tina Marie
going to the Apollo. You know what I'm saying? And she's like, you know what? I made it to Grand Ole Opry. I can go there and blow that away. But if I can only be making in front of these black folks.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Then I'll be, you know, I'll be delivered. And it's like these homosexuals are saying, you know what? The Greeks have accepted us thousands of years ago. The Romans have accepted us thousands of years ago. The French have, you know, the British, everyone has suffered for those damn niggers. If only we can get them to sing our song, then we would have arrived.
Absolutely.
And he said that he's not a Christian. But, go ahead, sister.
Let me tell you this on what you said. Do you know how many black folks have fought me, gay black folks have fought me when I told them about this whole perverse sexual is not of us. Our people, our original people from Africa, we did not do this. Do you know how many black gay folk and black straight folk try to fight me on that? They try to say, oh, no. And it was sad because I said, this is not of us. This is of Europeans. And they would say, no, in Africa, they have this, me, and that. And what I said, what I found so sad is, why are you in such a rush to try to make this a part of us? This is
exactly
how sick we are. Because you're not going to align with the fact that it's Eurocentric, which it is. You ready to say, they not the fault. We've been doing this. It's been from Africa. Like, really? And people don't realize that.
Hotel.
That's my brother Messiah 7 on the line. But, brother, give me a second. I know you might want to ask us a couple of questions. And people don't know. This is going to be the go-to person that people going to go to, you know. This is going to be the go-to person that everybody go to kind of get the 911 on what's really happening to the black community with this gay thing. But it's like you had said a minute ago. You said that, I'm going to talk about the sister said that, you know, it's like when the rappers came out talking about, you know, gangster this and gangster that, and all the people that had went along with that, you know, if you see an artist, and this artist done sold 2 million, 3 million records, and all his content on his record is talking about black women ain't nothing but bitches and hoes. Popping the Molly and Sway. That's one of my little favorite things I like to say when I kind of bring up the music issue. Popping the Molly and Sway, you know. And then you have people on top of that, it's talking about robbing, it's talking about selling, it's talking about anything derogatory that you can think of that's degrading to the black experience of life, they will mention in their music. Because all of them have the same type of formula. You know what I'm saying? How many people do you think go out and actually do those things? I might don't do it. Miss Too Legit to Quit might don't do it. Brother Messiah, you might don't do it. But guess what? We're talking about not 1,000, not 10,000, not 100,000, not 1 million, but several million people. Out of several million, a number that's too high, I don't even know if I met 2,000 people in my life that if I was to see them today, I still can remember their name. And I'm all right with names, you know. How many people you think that don't go out and do those things?
Uh-huh.
Come on now. How many people you don't think that go pop a molly? Now I'm sweating. Woo! How many people you think that don't go out and that's that crack, get some crack and try to sell it? How many people you don't think, you know what I'm saying, right around with that Nina, smoking on that Keisha?
Yeah.
I'm talking about, we're talking about millions of people. So when we got
and
this homosexual agenda, it affects thousands and thousands of little black boys and girls. And the ones who have been victimized, they become the victimizers. And the ones who haven't, that just jumped on the bandwagon, they live up to the same standards as the other ones. You know what that reminds me of? Looking at the movie True Blood, not True Blood, Blade. I don't know if you ever seen the movie Blade.
Somebody was telling me about that. It's been so long ago, I really, you know.
All right, Blade, there was a vampire on there. I think his name was Cross. You remember that movie Blade, brother?
Yeah, I remember it, brother.
All right. The dude name was Cross, right? That's his name, right?
Yeah, I
anybody. But they ain't like Cross. Why the vampires that like Cross?
Is he black?
No. Blade was black. But they didn't like Cross because Cross was bitten. See, Cross was bitten. Cross wasn't born into being a vampire like a lot of the other vampires. The main, the head vampires, the ones who ran the vampire organization, they were born vampires. They came from generation and generation and generation of vampires. But Cross was just as good a vampire as the rest of them. But they didn't respect him because he got bit and became a vampire. Right?
Okay.
And the same thing with those homosexuals. Pretty soon, they're going to be looking at... they're going to give, you know, they're going to give us a name, they call us Gradies or whatever the hell they call us, but they're going to look at them, look at that newbie, old newbie.
You're not this thing, you.
You're not a real homosexual. I was just waiting since I was 3 years old. You know? Hey, and other homosexuals, hey, look, you know, I've been gay for 2 years, but hey, it was always in my heart. No, you're not really gay.
Right.
You know?
Right. And that's the sickness right there. And that's why black people, like I was trying to tell Eric, but he wanted to, and all that you said was right. That's why black young people are so susceptible to that, because we buy into this whole music BS. We run around here, like you said, Papa Molly's doing all of that stupid stuff. We're doing that. So why wouldn't we do this too? Why? How are we going to just pick that out the bunch and say this is what we're not going to do?
Exactly. Exactly. And we got people that, you know, I'm sorry, it's going to be funny, you know, because it's going to be like pressuring a girl in high school that's still a virgin.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's prom.
Yeah.
And it's like, girl.
Yeah.
The night is the night. You know what I'm saying? even when her mama getting dressed up, her mama playing Betty Wright. And I know some of y'all might be saying, I know you ain't going to sing that song. But then when the night is the night, I make you a woman and doing the daughter here. Yeah, girl, you know, be inside the house at 12 o'clock. And the mama reminiscing, I remember I was on my prom. Lord, Lord, Lord. Jesus. And thinking about that night, you know. And so they send the daughter out, you know. Well, you better not do nothing. You don't got no business doing. But you know what the daughter going to do, because she know what she did. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's going to be a time where our little boys and our little girls going to be, they might have been in the heterosexual sex, but it's going to be to the point they're going to get teased because they're not bisexual and they haven't experienced homosexual sex. You mean to tell me that your arm, I don't know what they're going to say. You know, we used to say Cherry getting bust, but I don't know what they're going to say now. I don't know what term they're going to use, and I hate to imagine, but they're going to be like, you mean to tell me you still a so-and-so? You still a
virgin?
Right.
Yeah,
you still a virgin?
What are you saying?
You know? It's getting younger and younger. I'm talking about high school of the day. But you go down a couple of years and the way things are advancing, we're talking about junior high school now.
Thank you. Thank you. And this is what I'm trying to tell people. Quick, get out of your mindset. Get out of your mindset as an adult. And look at the younger generation. And I could show you so many things. I could show you so many Facebook pages and pictures of these young people that's like 16, 15, 14, 13 years old, black boys, talking about they gay, twerking, everything else, wearing makeup and everything else. And what's sad is, it's to the point now, this is so sick, that the mothers, the black mothers, are accepting this. And they are going with their shopping with their sons. They are going to get their nails done with their sons. They are accepting this BS from their sons. And this is the mental dysfunction, because a lot of the women, I feel that they feel like, see, women are very jealous and territorial on a man. And so black women already have issue with their sons getting with a woman. So I feel like some of them are that sick that they are willing and accepting and tolerant of all of this gay stuff with their sons, so as they won't have to lose their son to another woman.
But sister, how
because...
about this?
Mm-hmm.
How about this one right here, right? Excuse me, I'm sorry about that. But how about this one? Nigga, just for that, I got something for your ass. Listen to me, sister. Listen.
Okay.
Listen. Nigga, just for that, I got something for your ass.
Mm-hmm.
Make the boy into a little girl.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Make the boy into a little girl.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, deliberately, purposely make this little boy into a little girl.
Yes.
So that when his daddy do see him, whether he's in prison, whether he's with his other family, or whether he just don't want to have to do with her ass some more because she down cuckoo than a damn bird that damn cuckoo for Cocoa Puff. Guess what? She done took him not just to get her nails done, but to get both of their nails done.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Not just to go buy her clothes, but to buy his clothes too.
Exactly.
And making him into a little homo. And now here it is, he can find it in you saying that, you know what? I never want my child to be gay if I ever had one.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
You know? Because he hated himself because he confused. And now he got real bad. And this is the sexual perversion coming right here. His mama did it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's a conflict sexual issue going on with him because of that.
Mm.
So he's a super, super deviant.
Right.
Because he got real bad issues. Not only am I gay and I'm doing this thing, but my mama made me this way.
That's
so he have a double hatred. One of himself and another one really, really. You know what? That's how serial killers are made.
I was just thinking that's just how that go.
You know?
When you say he's super deviant. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a super deviant. But you know what? I still, I'm going to see whether or not I can bring Brother, I want to bring Brother Eric back home. But I don't want to say Brother Eric because another Brother Eric, he's the Brother Eric. No disrespect. I mean, Eric, back on. Messiah, something you got something you want to say before I bring Eric back on? Because I really want to give him a chance. And, you know, guess what, Eric? This sister is it's time for your ass. No homo. But Messiah, you have anything you want to say before I bring Eric back on?
The only thing I want to say, brother, is that this is a agenda that's going on. This is a plan that's going on. This is something they do, man. It's something strategically planned. And we as people, we got feelings, and we got heart and all that. But when it comes down to it, no, man. Because I see what's going on. See what you're doing. I don't care how much loving I am. I see what the opposition doing. That's our problem now. We too loving, they ain't putting our loving in the right places to see what the hell going on against us and what they doing against us and working on our emotions. You know what I'm saying? That's all I got to say, brother. And to the brother that was speaking earlier, you on point with everything you saying, man. You know, we got to wise up, man. For those who ain't wake and those who ain't up on it, man, they going to get left behind. I can't deal and they can't come into camp. Oh, I ain't going to let you know where I'm at.
Mm-hmm.
But you know where I'm at, brother. I'm out. I'm listening to the show. Plug me out, brother. I'm listening.
No, I want you to stay online. I want you to stay online. I'll, Mr. Eric, I ain't know. Now, listen, I'm just laughing, but I ain't laughing like that. Mr. Eric, I want to bring you back on the show because, I'm really interested in, you know, how is that you came to the point of being a homosexual, whether or not, you know, it was something that happened to you as a child, or is it something that you think you were born with? Or is it something that one day you say, you know what, I'm just tired of doing all the coochie-coo stuff, you know, I done climbed the mountains, I done did this and I done did that, I think I'm going to be a little homosexual, you know. But it's just, I just want to know, but I don't want to get into no argument with you about it. You know what I'm saying? That's not my thing. I would do it, but look, I got a sister on the line that I look up to, and I don't want to, you know, I ain't trying to mess this thing up, man. I'm trying to build some things with this sister down the line, and I don't want her to say, you know what, Mrs. Savannah Black, you just too crazy with your constant attack. But, you know, give me a second. I'll be back on the line. You know, I'm going to see whether or not I can play this clip. It's called Eddie the Molesting Monster.
Delete puss among us, and no, you're a pedophile, sick sister. Get him out of here.
That's right.
You don't even need no legal system for that.
That's right.
And don't think I know them boys ain't got a touch of defaggotism. I seen that boy with all that Visine on his lip. Whether that Visine, Listerine, whether that junk grease all up in his lip. Talking about he, what kind of daddy leave you? You still calling him daddy? He's still daddy? And daddy been making balloons in your pants? Boy, you know ain't no daddy label you. That's stupid.
That's
some
right.
of that stuff, let me tell you. Don't think I know these boys ain't gaming the system. The whole thing about money.
That's
but
right.
You know what? Sissy going to do that. They're going to bounce back on each other when they see another sissy move in or a younger sissy move in, and it's going to be a mess. Same thing with these stupid, dumb women that sleep with their pastors.
That's right.
Watch every one of them come out and start talking. It'd be one, she done got too old, got too fat, too funky, and a young one come in. You know you were doing wrong when you were doing the first time.
That's right.
Ain't nobody stupid. I ain't going to cover for none of these folks. Only time they was a victim when they were minors.
Yeah.
These kids know after a long period, man, it's been a whole year and that man been putting in your backyard. Get up, horsey. You know good and doing well. You ain't no mule.
That's right.
Nobody's stupid. I know all of them ain't nothing full of junk.
Mm, yep.
Ain't nothing but some doing gay love affair on went south.
That's right. That's it.
Ain't coming for none of them. None of them ain't no big. All of them just some doing sexy and they're going to burn in hell. Don't repent.
That's right.
Isn't that right?
That's right.
Don't feel sorry for them. Ain't nowhere in the world you laying with your pastor no more than that dumb woman was at Earl Polk Church. You ain't sleeping with nobody no 14-year marriage, and you married, and you got no common sense, and you know good and doing well God ain't told you to sleep with that man.
Mm.
I was the only preacher crying out on Earl Polk till he died. And y'all know how I feel about talking about people when they dead.
Don't do it.
Don't run people down when they dead.
Right.
I'm talking about how we living.
Right.
No good knuckle-dragging caveman had sex with his own granddaughter. What other preacher is out here on YouTube talking about? Is it permissible for a man to have sex with his granddaughter?
Mm-mm.
Is it permissible for a man to have sex with another 8-year-old girl?
No.
Is it permissible for a man to have sex with a woman he married and bring in the house and other preachers sleep with her and then have her to commit homosexual acts? But who they say? Let's pray for Smith. Quit talking. Let's pray. I ain't praying to God about no foolishness.
That's right. That's right, preacher.
I cried, lock him up.
That's right.
This rotten legal system right here in the Cal County gonna cover for Eddie Long just like they cover for that no good knuckle dragging caveman Earl Polk when he was living. So I ain't gonna talk about him then.
That's right. Don't do it.
Hitting that right. I ain't gonna let none of them off.
That's right.
Here on Jamal Bryant, your little ugly baboon baby. That thing sat there and slept with a 17-year-old girl. That's a minor.
That's right.
But let me tell y'all something killed me. I'm approaching the age of 42, if the Mohawk God see with me. There is no way a 22, 28-year-old girl got enough conversation or mind frame to even deal with where I come from and what I know.
Yeah.
Makes no sense. And so I don't care what law they passed at 17 years old. Don't you know I have too much time and maturity? She is at a disadvantage. But when you ain't a man, you can always go get a little girl.
Mm, yeah.
When you ain't a man, you'll go play with kids. Just like the cereal. Tricks are for kids. Anyway, I'm a man. I made sure I went and got me a woman.
That's right.
I'm just keeping it real. Some stuff, you don't look, it's bigger than what folks think. It's pedophilia going on here. And these people don't see the sickness. They so ashamed and they hate to look wrong that they'll cover it up and keep sitting there defending bad behavior. But God is going to be your judge. And when God come back in hell, you're going to lift up your eyes. Baby, you're going to burn. You're going to burn. You're going to burn.
That's right.
I love this thing.
That's right.
One thing Atlanta can't say, I won.
That's right.
I won. No fall private nowhere. Gonna get no pay.
That's right.
What I got you holding?
You got me holding Titus 1:6.
I'll hit that. He'll give me 1 Timothy 3. This is a true saying. If a man is out of office of a bishop, he desires a good word. A bishop then must be?
Blameless.
I love that.
That's right.
They won't start there. You know they'll start running down the high. I got wives. I got kids. Yeah, you sleep in one bedroom. She sleep in another one. You ain't even qualified.
That's right.
Let me tell you what I don't do. I seen that junk in the Baptist church. These husband and wife combo team don't go together but make these agreements. You have sex with who you want. They ain't nobody going to tell me Ed Long why I didn't know he was gay.
That's right. Yeah.
When she go in there and see him open up a whole bottle of Skippy peanut butter and get her hand and ram it around like this, and start going, skip it, peanut butter. It ain't hard to figure something ain't right. It ain't hard to figure something ain't right when you play with that peanut butter. You ain't going to keep wet. Them courage of color or make a punk out of any straight man.
Yeah,
Calvin
right.
Church done prove that out.
Amen.
Them color make a punk out of it. I don't know what's in that car, but I don't want one. If they pass a federal law, every preacher got to have one of them collar. Somebody can get two, because I don't want mine.
That's right.
Hammer. 7 days a week, you can swap up. You wear that, you can wear your one day, and you can wear the one they thought they were going to give me the next one. I don't want mine. I'm going to toe the line. I want these fellas to look bad and they can possibly look because it's a disgrace and a shame before God the lifestyle these folks have lived.
That's right.
They lavished themselves and left their member with nothing.
That's right.
Pick up in Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 1. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. I need more time on TV, internet. Listen, wherever my voice be heard, wherever I be seen, I done told y'all folks you ain't in nothing. That's why the rest, after these preachers said, well, you know what that criticism is? See, the Spirit of God showed me you don't need to be calling names and you know we don't need to be fighting one another. So the Spirit of God told you it's all right to go and justify homosexuality?
Yes,
when God ain't never went along with it.
Mm,
Spirit of God told you it's all right to go justify a preacher sleeping with their member. God's word don't go along with it, but it told them don't call no name. You know what? I have a problem with God's Spirit. If only thing God can tell me don't call name, but ain't nothing wrong with being a homo. And his own word said not to be one.
That's
Spirit
right.
of God don't tell me not that it ain't all right to sleep with these members, but don't talk about folks. Go ahead and have sex with the member, just don't talk about nobody. What good is that?
Mm.
That's the problem. Now we're covering up. Even the kids got enough sense. Most of them kids in that church know, my parents are so dumb, so stupid, they say, and you raise your kids, talking about don't be nobody fool, and you got them sitting in a rat hole church.
That's right.
You the sucker.
That's right.
All you missing is the wrap around your neck.
That's right.
Listen to the book. This is Ezekiel 34 and 1. Listen to the book.
And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying,
son of what?
Son of man.
Yeah.
Prophesy against the shepherds of
Israel. No, preach, you listen to what happens. See, you know what I don't like? When millions of God be fighting one another.
Mm.
He told him to prophesy in favor of?
Against the shepherds of Israel.
Amazingly, I'm the only one doing it. I'm the false prophet. Hey, why am I a false prophet? Because I don't sleep with nobody members? Why am I a false prophet? Because I'm sleeping with members? Which I don't do. I'm stealing money. I'm misappropriating government funds, which I don't get. What is it? I'm telling lies. I'm drinking liquor. I'm shaking up in nightclubs and shacking up, molesting kids. What made me the false prophet? I say what the book say. They two men and women of God and disobey the book. You ain't nothing but a hypocrite.
That's right.
Hello?
Sorry about that. I'm sorry. I had the phone on mute.
No, okay.
All right. That was Pastor Tony Smith. That's a sermon he did about Eddie. That's one of the sermons he did about the homosexual thing that happened with Eddie Long and those four boys in Atlanta.
Yeah. I think I
you remember you, some, when it yeah. happened? Eric is on the line. Eric, hold on. I think Eric is still on the line, right? Hold on, let me bring him on. You say you want to come on?
Okay. Yeah, I think he wanted to come back on.
All right. Eric, you on the line?
Not the son right now. I think he's gone, bro.
Oh, okay.
Okay. All right. Yeah, he is gone.
He was 7-0-1.
Okay, yeah.
I'm talking to him in the chat right now.
Oh, okay, yeah. We got
Facebook.
The show going, and what you call it, Brother Sunray? It's going in continuation. People will be able to podcast it later on and listen to the whole thing in entirety, plus the section of the show that we're doing right, the continuation that we're doing right now.
Yeah.
I know you remember Brother Sunray.
Yeah.
The host
yeah.
of Culture Freedom Radio? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
What's going on,
how you doing?
All right, appreciate you, sister. I just want to say a couple words, and I'll let y'all go ahead. I appreciate, man, the work that y'all have done tonight. Y'all have touched on so many powerful issues and, powerful things. And like I said, yeah, and it's great that this sister, I love the work this sister's doing by making the stands on it. Like I said, brother, she got some powerful videos. And sister, like I said, yeah, we would love for you to send us that video. Because, they shut our website down anyway on the heartbeat. We don't give a damn about them shutting it down. We'll be glad to put that video up on front page. But the one you said that got banned, they can ban us.
Yeah.
We don't give a damn. But so we're gonna put this information out. So you can send it to us, and we'll put it up. And, hell, just let them ban us. But we don't give a damn. We're going to put it up there anyway. But when that guy, Eric, I would love for him to, would have had came on and asked some questions. Because that would have been good thing. It would have been a good thing if somebody could ask them some questions. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah. Let me read to y'all what he sent to me. And he sent me his phone number, too. But I'm talking to him right now back and forth. But this is what he sent to me. I love you, my sister, but I feel you are in denial. And then he said, if I want to hear more of his stance, he left his number. He said, I feel that you are denying a lot of things just while hiding behind so-called consciousness. I am troubled by you and the radio host. You two will always have a fan base when you deny the conditions you cause to create. You elected to prosecute instead of elevate. I don't see you any different than the pimps in the pulpit that hate the sin yet love the sinner. I don't listen to white people or allow myself to be fooled by the wolf in sheep's clothing. I don't care how you feel about me. I'm not making videos that prey on the ignorance of the few. You can continue to divert our people from the bigger issues we face by scapegoating gays. Because you are afraid of the powers that be. I can care less who's gay or straight because it's going to take all of us to build. You won't be able to change my mind, but unlike your audience, I am well educated, and just be prepared for the road ahead because we know your intention. I'm at the point instead of fighting with you, time will be my best response to you. As you get older and hopefully you remain in best of health, but safe travels to Atlanta, and maybe you will learn something or you will make another dollar. That's all it is to you. Hearing your stance and how you were on the radio, there's nothing I can say or do that will be coming to you. Stay blessed. What? Okay. Yeah. The black family is being destroyed by public assistance and the influx of immigrants. We have become like our oppressors and denied and divert our eyes to the core, scratching the surface. Are you kidding me? We became like our oppressors by accepting this type of thing.
Yeah. And I want to just say one quick thing. Like, see, here's what they're missing from the whole issue. You see, they just want to say that people are picking on them because of their sexual orientation. And that's see, that's what they used to come out and say. It was a sexual orientation at first. My bad. They used to say it was a mental illness. Now they're saying it's a sexual orientation. My bad. I got it back. But here's the thing. Now, we always talk about look at nature. And out in nature, a male dog gonna go trying to find a female dog. Anything, all in nature, is like opposite of track. Everything opposite of track. And I want to throw this, it might sound crazy with this one, but that's why we got a lot of black men that's running to white women, because, opposite of track. You want something that's different than what you are. But when it's time, like I said, we're the only creatures as the human family that want to go with something like us. Like I said, it's not two male dogs that are going to hump on each other. Now, every now and then they might do that crazy shit, but they realize, but this ain't the right thing. But you don't see them really want to be in around each other like that. But we're the only people who can justify something that's unnatural. And this is what this is. That's why we're saying it is unnatural. Y'all can't produce. Two men can't reproduce. No. Now, if he want to say, you know, they want to be religious, and a lot of them, especially a lot of them, are sitting in the church and justifying this, how can you say your Bible start off talking about being fruitful and multiplying? Two men can, goddamn it, multiply. Two women can multiply. So you can't sit in the church and justify this shit, and then you're, and then talking about reading the Bible. This is the word of God. I got to live by this daily. And then you delete that part out of your equation. So then one more thing, bro. I'm going to shut up on this one here. The word agenda, since we keep saying this is a homosexual agenda, this is coming from the dictionary.com. You're talking about the word agenda. It says it is a list or plan or outline or the like of things to be done, a matter to be acted upon or voted. Now, when we say it is agenda, it is a concentrated plan. Anytime that you have to pass a law, Obama them, passing laws for people to have gay couples, they can be added on to insurance company and marriages. You setting a plan just because you want to be with this person. There was never a law being passed for straight people, straight people, whatever we want to call it, a male and a female. There ain't nobody passed no goddamn kind of law for us to be what due to what we do. But when you have people like what they want to do, two men, then you got to set a plan or a law to have this done, to justify it. It's just, and then also say something that is to be done. So according to this agenda, what is it that must be done? What are they trying to do? The thing that must be done is to justify this, and it's like almost like, you know how they feel they've been picked on, like y'all did say it once upon a time. We always had people that was, you know, gay back in the days, but they kept it on the low, and really nobody. Right. Sometimes some people might have picked on them. So now it's like we're gonna get revenge on y'all ass for picking on us. Now we're gonna make all y'all ass gay. Cause see, y'all used to pick on us, and we couldn't come out the closet.
Yeah, yeah.
Now it's like a revenge of the nerd type thing that's going
on. It's that damn police. It's that police that used to beat up in high school. Taking all y'all niggas to jail.
People keep thinking that, like, the whole gay marriage thing, that's about inclusion. It's about control. They don't want inclusion. And this is what I could never understand. Okay, the whole gay marriage issue, when they had civil unions, I'm okay with that. You want to have a civil union, you do your thing. But this over here, marriage and family, we need to keep those definitions as is. All right, but yet when they had civil unions, of all the places that had civil unions, there was a very, very, very low amount of gay people who ever got these unions. Now, if you were so deep in love and you were such in a rush to make a solid connection or whatever with your partner, why wouldn't you be getting civil unions? But now all of a sudden, it's, we want to push to get married. But this is the thing, and this is what I ask. Just one gay couple, and the man got mad at me because I said, who is the wife? And so he got angry. There is no wife. There's no woman in our relationship. This is two men, blah, 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 blah. But see, this is what gets me. Why do you want to be a part of something that is based on man and woman? Why can gay people not have their own customs and traditions? The whole idea of marriage and the traditional way it is in this country, you know, the woman taking a man's last name, the woman wearing her dress, coming down the aisle, being walked down the aisle, given away by her father, you know, the bride and the groom, and just how all of that is. But see, gay people want to come in and they wanted to say, we're not changing anything. Nothing will change. You a damn lot. How can you change something and not change it? And, you know, they got people into, and see, this is what they do. This is what y'all have to be careful about. And this is what I put in that post. I talked about the black intellectual homosexual. You have to be careful because these people will use words. They're very clever with words in this, in the gay organization. So what they did was with gay marriage to get more people in society to go along with it, they will consistently use the word love. Okay? When you say love, that's going to elicit a positive emotional response. So if you continue to say, we just love each other, we want to get married, you can't help who you love, 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 love. Then people begin to say, well, then go ahead and get married. You know what, it's okay. You know what, yeah, I'm going to vote for her and I'm going to go ahead. And see, that's how they do you.
Mm-hmm.
You know the thing, I'm sorry, brother. Go ahead.
Not even like that, sister. When she said one key part, when she said, well, a lot of key points. When she said that part, they said you can't help who you fall in love with. When I was talking to a brother talking about, man, falling in love with white women and messing with all these dudes, messing with white women, he said exactly the same thing this is to say. You can't help who you fall in love with.
Yes, the hell you can.
She's 100% right. Now, all of a sudden, I mean, Brother Black, you know, we cool. I've had to use this up. Now, me and Brother Black, we kick it. Now, we kick it. Said so we do radio host. We go around doing lectures and stuff and kicking it. And we cool. Next thing you know, I'm like, you know what? I think I got something for you. I'm fell in love with you. Black gonna slap the hell out of me.
I might shoot you.
You can't
shoot to your leg and make sure you're all right.
Yeah. Then, now, how's somebody going to say, well, hey, man, I can't help her. I can't help because I fell in love with you. Come on, man. That's a bunch of bullshit.
It is.
But guess what, though? Before you come at me like that, you're supposed to be beating your own damn self up. You know what I'm saying? You're supposed to be kicking your own. Matter of fact, you want to say, hey, Black, hey, I can find your girl for me. I'm like, yeah, well, what's up? You take it and then you're supposed to shoot yourself in the leg like, damn. Oh, what's the matter, man? Why you shot yourself, bro? You just don't know I had needed that to come back to reality because obviously you must be done ate too much damn chicken. Now, shouts out to Dick Gregory who said, you know, the chicken arm, a feminized young black boys and girls. Mm. But I'm gonna read something from this guy right here. He must have been some type of he was a gay prophet. He was a gay prophet because if everything that this dude had wrote is coming into reality. Michael Swift.
Wait a minute. Can I tell you this real quick? I mean, it's going to take 2 seconds because I don't know when your show's going to cut off, but I just want to say this. Tomorrow night, I am having a debate with a guy named Cleo Monago. He is a gay black man, but he's a black, pro-black activist or whatever. And he coined this term, same gender love, SGL. And this is what they use now. Another one of those things I told you about the words. So anyway, I'm debating him. The topic is gay the new black, and that's going to be tomorrow night.
Great topic. That's a great topic. You know what? Before I read this little piece right here.
What time are we going to be, sis?
I believe it starts at 8. Do you have Facebook?
Yeah. We on Facebook on your friend.
Okay.
What age are you talking about? Eastern Central, Mountain, or Pacific? Which one?
Let me look to make sure. Because I probably need to know. Because he hit me up today like, are you ready? I'm like, yep.
That's a pretty good subject because, you know, it's really disgraceful as, you know, a African living in America, in the United States of America, to be identified with gay folk. You know, when you see, you know, black is the new gay and gay is the new black type slogans being thrown around and you seeing people celebrating it, that thing is just, it does, and that's just like the final assault and one of the most hardest assault that you can bring on any race is to effeminize them and associate them with effeminization. And one thing we have never been in history, and that right there, even when we were in the period of being kidnapped in the transatlantic slave trade.
It's tomorrow afternoon. It's starting at 3.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh, at
and
3.
That's going to be central. Yeah.
3 or central? Okay, that's 4 o'clock my time. I'll be checking it out. But you know, we never, Brother Summer, we never been affiliated with being weak, even as being kidnapped during the slave trade. You know, we were the strongest race. That's why they put us in captivity.
Right.
You know,
right.
For the durability. So they knew their lifespan at the time was probably 35, 40, but we were living well until, you know, after, you know, 100.
Right.
So we didn't only go from one generation, but we went through several generations of the same owner. You know, not the same owner, but the same bloodline of owner. But now they are associating us with homosexuality and weakening us as a race and saying that we are the weakest link, and it's really not that. It's like I told you earlier, sister. It's like that white person that's going on Apollo. They're like, damn, you know, I done did it in this place, that place, but if I only can get these Negroes to accept me, then I done made it.
Right,
and it's like,
right.
It's like they say God made a bet with the devil, like the story of Job, Brother Sunray. You know, it's like, you know what? I don't care who you try to systematize. And this right here is God talking to the devil, right, brother? But he tell the devil that you can't do my people like that. Sure, you might get one or two of them that might fall for it, but overall, my people, God chosen few, are not going to go with that homosexual agenda. Now, excuse me, that homosexual culture. And we've really been tested, just like in the Bible, Job was. We got all these things coming at us in the same way as some of those plagues. I'm just affiliating them, just kind of like tying them together with this frontal assault that we have by these homosexuals coming at us and trying to get us to sign on. And I'm not talking about me, and I'm not talking about you, and I'm not even talking about Mr. Eric. I'm talking about us as a race of people.
Right.
That got to be the thing that's going to throw this planet off balance. And then I look at your page where you had put the same sex thing on there, the interracial gay dating thing on there, gay relationship thing. And
yeah.
Then one brother had put he hoped they do, he hoped that the black man do to the white man what they were doing to us, you know, to slavery. You see that comment?
Yeah.
Yeah. Which was the hell. I'm like, I looked at
that.
Was
it somebody
like,
True Blood? Yeah.
Yeah. I was in disbelief behind that. But this dude right here, I don't quite sure you're familiar with him. His name is Michael Swift. And Michael Swift had wrote the article entitled The Gay Revolution. The gay revolutionary. And it's some of the things that you were speaking on, some of the things that Brother